Beep a beep a boop a beep 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 a beep a boop a beep go Bayside beep a beep a boop a beep 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 a beep a boop a beep go Bayside beep a beep a boop a beep.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Go Bayside. And this is actually a really exciting one because first of all, this is a sought after guest that many of you have emailed me requesting I get him on.
Is that so?
It's very so. Go ahead and tell everyone who you are.
Hi, everybody. I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
And I have to say, in my defense, so that people know I'm not an idiot, you were one of the first people I asked to do this.
That is true.
And you texted back like, I'm good.
I think, yeah, I said something. I'm all set.
It's cool. And I was like, oh, okay. But now,
but then
I listened
to a few episodes, and I really enjoyed listening to them. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. I didn't.
Oh, my God. You just made my year by saying that.
I think after hearing it, I got how it went. And then I was like,
right.
Oh, I can do that. Yes. But
okay,
The idea
of watching a full episode of this, you weren't jumping at the
chance. I think you caught me at a time when I was probably feeling like life is too short for me to watch and analyze an episode of Saved by the Bell.
Sure, sure.
I might have been traveling at the time. I might have just been tired.
It's your prerogative to say no.
Absolutely.
You don't owe me an extended explanation. I'm just saying that because so many people emailed me that I don't want to. I was like, yeah, no, duh. I'm trying to get that guy on it. Like, I'm not an idiot. Okay.
Well, now the pressure
is on. So now that you know.
For me to be a great guest. Yes.
Okay. Well, paperwork out of the way. The episode that we just watched is called The Aftermath.
Paperwork out of the way.
This is what I got to do every episode. We just watched The Aftermath. The original air date was September 21st, 1991. And as listeners know, it was tying up all the loose ends from the previous episode.
I cannot fathom how this could be a two-parter.
Well, because it was just, how is Zach going to... The end of the other episode was just Kelly dumping Zach. So then it's like, how does Zach deal? And since you have actually listened, which I'm endlessly flattered, you get to go ahead and give me a short plot synopsis of what we just watched.
I will try. I knew that I had to do this, and I feel like this is very challenging because there is no story here. There's barely the notion... There's barely a moment in time that they have stretched out to 22 minutes. This is the longest half hour of my life.
Yeah,
by the
you
way.
Did ask in the middle of it. You were like, this is a half hour show, right?
Oh, it just felt like forever. Okay, so I didn't realize when we sat down to watch, this is the second half of a two-parter.
Yeah.
And you told me, no, don't worry. They'll get you up to speed. And I was like, I've seen a TV show before. I know that they do a previously on or whatever. And not even a previously on.
Actually,
in this, they just straight up in dialogue summed up what I guess just happened moments before.
I don't even know, as a super fan who's watched this a zillion times, like they don't even, the thing, and I know on most TV shows, sometimes it's not spelled out how many days pass or whatever.
Yes.
But it's almost like this is the next day, and they're almost kind of like, why aren't you over this immediately?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Why aren't you over your girlfriend dumping you the next day, high school student?
So for reasons that are not given in this episode, Kelly dumps Zach.
Yes.
And now he has to pick up the pieces and get on with his life. Lisa is having a big party for herself. Sweet 16?
Yes.
Okay. Sweet 16 party for herself and encouraging everyone to bring her gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Thus resetting her character's materialism and greed.
Yes.
So he's like, yeah, I can go. It's not going to be a big deal. I'm over it. Like, he professes to be over it.
I guess, yeah.
He's clearly kind of sad.
Yeah.
Friends don't understand how he can be over it. Then they, the three best pals in the world, Slater and Zach and Screech, go to the tiniest movie theater on Earth, which has folding chairs and seats a dozen people. So they go to this movie theater that is showing some movie that has one moment of action in it.
You're getting too detailed.
It's true.
Because I want to get to those parts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So So they see. So they see Kelly and her new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Zach is bummed out. Now people are mad at Kelly. How can you just walk around with this guy in the world? Don't you know that places are frequented by more than one person? Then I honestly am blanking on what happens from there until the end. Oh, okay. So what's her name? Lisa is going to fix up Zach with they're all going to fix up Zach with girls that they know.
Yeah.
To help him get over Kelly. The dates don't work out. And then there's one. It's like, oh, she seems all right.
Yeah.
They go to, what's the name of the place?
The Max.
The Max. Where they always go. They must go. They're driven to go there.
Right.
And so they all go there, even though everyone hates everyone else yeah. at this point. They all go there.
Exactly.
And Zach shows up there with his new girlfriend, whose name escapes me.
Kim.
Kim, thank you.
Yes.
He rubs it in Kelly's face.
Yes.
I want the most romantic booth you have.
As if there's such a thing.
Yes. Plays yeah. their song in the jukebox.
Yeah.
She's outraged. How could you do that? It's sacred. There's nothing sacred anymore. You dumped me.
Yeah.
The Kim, the date, catches on. She's like, this guy's using me.
Yeah.
To make her feel bad. She throws a milkshake.
Yes.
On his shirt.
Yes.
And then storms off. So Zach is bummed out. He's not going to go to Lisa's party after all.
Yeah.
He just can't. He realizes he just can't take it.
Yeah.
Screech tries to get him to go. It's like, no, I'm not going to go. Screech tells him sometimes you got to be stupid in front of your friends.
I'm not sure that's the exact friendship being sometimes being stupid in front of us.
Yes, there's a
if you can't be stupid in front of your friends, who can you be stupid in front of is kind of I think what he says.
Right. So I don't know how that lesson that maxim takes care of his previous behavior.
Yeah.
But I don't see how it makes him rally to show up at Lisa's party, which he then does.
Right.
And he and Kelly make up.
Mm-hmm.
He's even cool with the new boyfriend. Congratulations.
Totally. And this is maybe 2 days
conquest.
Later? Yes. Yes.
And then the episode ends with Zach meeting another partygoer, young lady,
yeah,
who approaches him and asks him, "Do you believe in love at first sight?" And he tells us, "Yes, he does."
That's right.
So everything's great now.
Everything's great. And we never see that lady again, by the way. So it's not love.
Not at all surprising.
Yeah. Okay. This starts off. This episode
How did
starts
I do?
Off. You did great.
Did
no,
I miss
great.
Any major details?
No. Well, we're going to get to the major details now.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I mean like plot points.
No,
I don't
want
to leave
no,
the listener
great.
In the dark.
No, no, no. They know what's up. I thought it was fantastic. You did a great job.
Well, I wasn't fishing, but I like what I caught.
Okay. So it opens with Zach walking into the hallway.
I want to start with even before the episode opens.
Okay.
Two things.
Yeah.
Number one, having listened to the podcast,
mm-hmm.
which starts with the Bayside war chant or whatever.
Yes. I think I know what you're going to say.
There's
go ahead.
So clearly a mistake that happens.
Yes.
It's maddening every time I hear it.
See, that's fun. I've gotten many emails about that. And listen, the reason I chose it was because I feel that it makes me laugh every time I hear it
sure.
because of the idea of them going, oh, no, we don't need to do another take. Just
yeah.
keep it.
Oh, absolutely.
How easy would it be to do it over?
It's absolutely in keeping with the shoddiness of the show.
Yeah.
And then there's something happens that's clearly supposed to be funny. And the most laugh tracky laughs
yes.
I've ever heard
yeah.
are dubbed in there, and that kind of drives me crazy
oh,
too.
Oh, see, that's
I'm not blaming
should
you
I change
for this.
It?
No, don't
because
change it. Don't change it.
Those two reasons are the reasons I chose it as
yes,
a theme song.
Absolutely. Okay,
okay,
I just didn't know if it had been discussed.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But every time I hear those dudes come in too early,
yes.
on bass, and then like instantly,
totally.
Instantly back off of
yes.
it.
Yes. But how easy would it have been to just re-record it?
So easy.
So easy.
So
and
easy.
The fact that they didn't makes me laugh every time, but I get why it could be infuriating.
Yeah, this is made by, well, because I'm mad at them. And
yeah.
this is clearly made by people who could not give a shit about anyone.
Well, you're right.
Or anything.
Right, exactly.
Number two, before the episode starts, is the the billing of and Dennis Haskins
yeah. right.
as Mr. Beldings.
Yes.
Why are we treating Dennis Haskins like?
As like a
can
special...
you believe we got Dennis Haskins to play a mildly recurring role on this show?
Can you guys believe it?
We just signed the paperwork.
Marquee name.
Yeah, I mean, we still have to do auditions, but we do have an offer out to Dennis Haskins.
Right.
All right. So please continue. I'm sorry.
You know what kind of makes me feel bad though is that I feel like if any of the cast listened to this at all, chances are pretty high it's him. And I just
why?
Feel, because like he seems like the kind of guy who does like Google himself and stuff.
Everybody does though.
No, but like for real, for real. I don't know. So that's just the thing is that I feel like me and other people have said some kind of harsh shit about that dude. And I'm like, oh, I feel like if there's one dude.
Dennis Haskins, if you're listening,
no, you know
kudos to you and your agent for getting that billing.
Do you get paid extra or something if you're listed as like and so and so?
That is in lieu of getting paid extra something.
As long as you make it seem like I'm special on here, I don't care.
That is all contract stuff. That is all like if you see a movie poster that has somebody's name in a box.
That
does not mean they got paid extra. That just means like
they're
getting a little extra
important.
Attention.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was a famous thing in the Towering Inferno because Steve McQueen and Paul Newman were both in that movie.
Right.
And so there's a big argument about billing and who's gonna
gets to go first.
Whose name was gonna be on there first. So the way they settled it was They were on the screen at the same time, so they shared a card, a credit card, and then their names were slightly on slightly different planes, so that it was like read into it what you want,
right?
whoever
comes first in your heart,
yes,
is who comes
if,
first.
If you think that being slightly higher is more important,
right.
Then you think Steve McQueen is the real star of this movie. If you think being lower because you after whatever,
that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that kind of stuff wasn't. Determined by, like, I didn't know. I guess it was like a special clause or something where it's like, I'll take this, but you have to put me in a box, or you have
these are just vanity things. And honestly, I don't think even on the part of the artist or of the actor,
or
the director. I think on the part of the agent, like,
crazy.
Like they're so they can say to their client,
like,
I'm protecting
this.
Your interests.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Hollywood inside info.
There you go.
That's awesome.
That's why
I didn't
people
know
listen
that.
To this, right?
Of course. But yeah, so it starts off. This episode with Zach like walking sullenly through the halls and everybody's like silent. Like Kelly breaking up with him like affects the school.
Yes.
Like everybody's acting like there's a funeral.
Phone
procession.
Cease your ringing.
Yes.
Clocks must stop.
It is totally like everybody's whatever looking at him like, oh my God, like poor Zach, right? Like the whole student body. And then he's trying to be like, what's the big deal, guys? Like who cares? Like acting like nothing's happening. And of course, the Screech is like, well, Kelly dumped you. What's up?
Yeah.
And he's like, thanks for bringing it up. And then that's when Lisa goes, hey, maybe you'll meet somebody at my Sweet 16 party. Mm-hmm. Now, that makes me laugh because it's like, who else is going to this party except people at this school?
Yes.
Like, he
already
knows everybody.
I love the idea that these kids have this rich social life outside of the school that includes a whole other universe
exactly.
of people. Yeah.
When they literally only hang out with the six of them at all times.
Yeah. Like, they treat school as if it's their office. Right. And then, oh, but in my home life, I have other friends that you should meet. And
yes,
there was
exactly.
Lisa's laugh line about there's only 5 shopping days left till her birthday is the first instance of the enormous lag between some joke or action or something and the response from the audience. And like,
right.
And by the way, there's no way there's anyone in the studio watching this happen.
Right, of course.
There's absolutely no way. So it's like, why not make
press
it faster?
The button quicker.
Yes. Pull that up. Pull that shit up.
You have 100% control
like,
over this.
Like, people are, they're literally walking away from the thing they just said. And then, like, why is it taking so long?
When it is just a dude in a booth. In
yes.
A booth or whatever, yeah. That is true. So yeah, so she says maybe you'll meet somebody new, and then he kind of is still trying to be like, I'm fine, you guys, like I don't need this. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he opens his locker and it's like wallpapered with pictures of Kelly, which I found sort of unset. Like I was in high school, I had a boyfriend in high school, I had a locker in high school. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like covered wall to wall with pictures of my high school boyfriend. You see who it was covered with? You're in my
absolutely,
apartment.
Yeah.
So that, but it's like crazy. Like she's a famous lady or something, and they're all like super professionally, like glamour shot style.
That's my
pictures.
Favorite thing. My favorite thing in any TV show, and you see it a lot in crime dramas, and it drives me crazy. It's like we're looking for this person.
Yes.
And then it's their headshot.
Yes.
Just take a fucking
yes.
Come on. It's cameras totally, are digital now. Yeah, Take a picture of that person in character.
And these, I mean, I guess you could argue, because I know the back, like some of the episodes where she is a model. Yes. So like maybe that's what they're from. But yeah, none of them are like casual pictures. They're all super duper posed.
Yes.
Super professional.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, so he, so, but he doesn't take them down then. He's just like, oh, and closes the thing.
No, it's too much to bear.
Yeah,
he can't. Looks at them and he realizes, I have a, this is going to be, I'm not ready to do this now.
Yeah.
And I can't start today. But when I'm ready, I'll be ready.
I'm fairly certain this is the next day. Because the To Be Continued episode is at the is like the night she breaks up with him. So, yeah, I'm led to believe this is the very next day. Which, I will, you didn't see the first, the To Be Continued episode, but my favorite part, or of any high school show where they break up and they're like, goodbye forever. When it's like, until 8 a.m. tomorrow when I'm with you in class. Yeah. So that's kind of how that ends. It's like, I'll miss you forever, Kelly.
Do these kids have every class together, or is it just when it's convenient they have a, they throw two of them in it, two or more in a class
they
together?
They pretty much have every class together.
Okay.
Which, again, is super impossible. It never happens in real life ever. But yeah, they pretty much have every class together. So that's the thing. So he knows he's going to have class with her. So I think this is going to be the next day. So then Lisa's still going around inviting everybody. She goes up to Kelly, like, you're invited to my Sweet 16. And she's like, I can't wait to bring Jeff. And then there's, like, a record scratch. Because she's like, Jeff. And, you know, Kelly's like, yeah, he's my boyfriend now. I'm totally bringing him to your party. And she's like, I didn't, what? And kind of, like, wavers on that a bit. And then is finally like, yeah, I guess I'll let you bring him. You know, like, Lisa's not jazzed about it, but she's like, I guess, you know?
So she's, you know, she's got a heart somewhere in there, even though she's all about...
All about material money, things.
Material goods.
You know those turtles.
She, the fact that her name is Turtle, and that, and I asked you during while we were watching, did they ever make jokes about it, and you said not really.
I don't think they do. They never
Why would they give her the surname Turtle?
Because, again, have you... Is anyone on this planet, is their last name Turtle?
No.
I mean, have you ever
absolutely not
heard of anyone having that as a last name?
I say with complete confidence, that is no one's last name.
I feel the same way.
And the fact that they've never made a joke about it?
I feel like they never have, I swear. Because she's not, I can't remember an episode where they make a joke about it.
It would have
been
in the pilot. I mean, if they ever were going to, it would have been in the pilot.
She was in the Good Morning Miss Bliss years, which is like pre this. So maybe
they did. How many of those were there?
I don't know. Because those were terrible, I think. Judging by
like, what are you talking about? Because you're saying this is good?
They don't, they're not up to snuff with these.
You're saying it's worse than this shit that we just watched.
Yes, because also too, they're like way little kids, and it's super duper like Disney-ish moral time. And like, it only, the only characters that carry over are Zach, Screech, and Lisa. And then the rest of the characters are just like other, and they're like in middle school. I don't know. I don't like it as much. That's my thing.
Fair
but enough. She is in that. So maybe they do make a joke in that about her being Lisa Turtle. But yeah, there's never, no one has that last name.
So whenever like a Saved by the Bell writer wanted to make a turtle joke, perhaps there might've been a Miss Bliss holdover who was like, we use it on Bliss.
Look, we don't want to.
It's been done.
We're prolific here. We don't want to repeat ourselves.
Yeah, the one thing we care about is not making Lisa Turtle jokes. That's it. Other than that, standards of quality, thumbs down. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything else other than that.
But turtle off limits.
Yes.
Off limits.
Look at the board, son. Look at the board. No turtle jokes.
It's the only rule.
Yep.
Rule number
one. The one rule.
Rule number two. See rule number one.
Yeah.
That's the only thing hanging up in the writer's room. Yeah, so they never make a joke of it. And that's crazy. And there's one time, though. This is only a couple of episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not to like rehash stuff that you were here for. But only because they have to do a report on their ancestry. She does a report on hers. She talks about her family were slaves. Super serious, grim subject. But it's like, my ancestor Abraham Turtle was a slave. So it kind of takes the wind out of the sails of like the grimness and the seriousness of such a thing.
Do people laugh at that?
No. No, she's, because she's they are just it. Like, oh yeah, that's a last name that you
have. They didn't push the button for laughs on that one? Why didn't she just say my grandfather Abraham? Was there a confusion? Like, was her grandfather Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
I can't believe they acknowledged race on this show.
Oh, that episode is nuts. Because she totally says, You should listen to that one. Mike Burns is on it. It's really funny. And we do talk about that because they do this project where she's like, my family were slaves. And then Jesse gets up and goes, my family were slave traders, and says this to the class. Says to the class, hi, my family traded slaves.
Wow.
High school class.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, who would not just make up something fake? I would make up something. I would not go, yeah, my family sold people, and I'm telling all of you fellow teenagers about it. So there you go. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. It's totally crazy.
Is this the I wanted to talk about the Vines joke about Slater's grandfather used to say women are like vines.
If you fall off one, swing on another.
With another. It's terrible.
Yes.
It's exceedingly clunky, but it does set up the joke from Jesse. You're not just a pig. You're a gorilla pig. Huge turn of the laugh knob for that one. Like the everything is, it's so tortured.
Right.
It's so tortured.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well, you know, I mean, keep in mind, too, this is written by, like, 45-year-old men who I assume they think, oh, this is how teenagers talk, first of all.
By the way, let me say this. I'm a 45-year-old man.
Right.
I think this is written by 60-year-old
men. Oh, you think so?
Yes.
Because we have always guessed that it's probably, like, dudes in their mid-40s, mm-hmm. white dudes. And, yeah, because there are... This aired in the 90s, and there are references to things like George McGovern.
Yes.
And, like... laughing or whatever, like, you know, things of times where it's like, oh, well, that was the time of a 45-year-old dude.
Absolutely.
And also they're just super out of touch, and this is how they think teenagers talk.
I think it was guys that were working on laughing
right.
that were right. that were aged out of the primetime sitcom world.
Right.
You know, and it's like, here, you can write this bullshit.
Right. Sure. But
we need people to work cheap.
Yeah, of course.
For a show we don't give
but
a shit about.
But you gotta give my, you're 44 now.
No, I'm 45 now.
No, you're not. I thought you were only 10 years older than me.
I just turned 45 in September.
That's right. Oh, okay. I'll catch up to you soon.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll be the same age.
I just thought that you were exactly 10 years older than me. Okay, well, right, but you're 45 now.
Do you have to go wash your hands 50 times?
Now that I'm not exactly 10 years old. But they, you know, they're 45 in 1991.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. I think they're even older.
Really?
Honest to God,
you could be right, though. You could be right.
Whatever we do, let's never research it.
It's never, well, there's no way we'll ever find out. There's no way. I'm so bad about that. I do get emails from people. I get an amazing amount of emails about this, by the way. Mm. Surprisingly.
Oh, I have no doubt.
But a lot of them are like, you know, the answer to that is just da-da-da. Like, you could just look it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, I'm just talking without even. But then I feel like it's rude if I sat here and like looked it up while you're sitting on my couch. Like, I'm not going to do that either.
Oh,
so,
hell no.
You know.
I would be curious, though, to see what people who wrote on this show came from or went on to write.
Yeah, what they're doing now. Absolutely. Yeah. That I'll look into that for
if
you.
Any of them are still alive.
Yeah.
If they're all in homes.
I'm sorry, or do you think they all committed suicide?
I thought
you were going with that.
That would be an amazing thing if everyone who ever wrote on Saved by the Bell ended up committing suicide.
Yeah, because...
And no one talks about it. It's like this dark secret of Hollywood.
We'll find out. Maybe there'll be like a true Hollywood story about it or something.
Oh,
like
I
the Saved by the Bell curse.
Oh, I wish.
Okay, so... The next scene is Zach, like, trying to be cool. He walks in. He's about to walk in the class, and he sees Kelly, and he's like, oh, it's like he forgot overnight that he sits next to Kelly.
That he's
class.
A high school student.
Yes, and that he's going to have to see her again the next day.
It's like, if you're in, what's so funny is, if you're in high, if you you can remember very easily what it was like to be in high school.
Yeah.
And have breakups and crushes and things like that. It's all you think about.
Of course.
It's all you think about. So the very idea that somebody would be walking into class like, oh, that's right, I forgot we sit next to each other.
I sit next to my ex-girlfriend. Like, that's all you, like,
yeah.
Of course. You, if anything, you'd like skip class or something the
yes,
next day.
Yes, you'd be trying to get out of school.
Yeah, of course. So he's like, oh, man. And so he walks in, but like tries to act like he doesn't care and sits down and is like, oh, yeah, hey, Kelly, what's up? Yeah, whatever, no big
nice
deal.
Nice jacket.
Yeah, just completely nonchalant. She's like, okay.
And I got to say, I commend him.
Yeah.
He's doing a pretty good job.
You think so?
He's not being rude.
Right.
He's just trying to...
He's trying to prove how
he's
over
trying
he
to be adult about it.
Which is kind of funny because you even do that now. I agree with you. Like, I watch these and I think about high school and stuff, but like... You even, you know, when I got dumped like a year ago, and you still do that. You still, when you see the person, you're like, whatever, you know, like I care, you know, in between crying at home. Like, it's just funny how you still, am I telling tales out of school here?
No,
are you any, too
I,
grown
no, of course,
and mature?
No, what?
You're looking at me like, I totally don't do that.
No. I was trying to, what you're saying is that that's a thing that never ends, that you would still try
totally.
To play cool. Well, of course,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Except for the last guy who dumped me, I super didn't. I was super
like
he's gonna hear.
But also like we're not on microphones. Listen, this last
because I that guy, yeah, I was super like please talk to me again. Like it was bad. It was like the only time I was like super not trying to be cool and was like, well, come on, just talk to me again, please. I'm really sad. It was grim. That was bad. So
those days are over.
Those days are over
this
now.
This is a new you.
Yeah, this
get
is a new. I'm
fucking
not,
get it together.
Trust me, I learned from that. To
I
not
hope
do
so.
That again. It was
I hope
really
so. April.
Embarrassing. I'm going to take the Zach Morris way from now on, is what I'm saying.
Compliment a jacket.
I'm taking tips on how to be cool.
That's right.
Okay, so Miss Simpson comes in, and I let you know that her whole joke is that she's deaf.
Yeah, hilarious.
You should be caught up on that.
I'm caught up on that, and you very quickly informed me of that, and I said, oh, is she so deaf that she doesn't know that she pronounces the word class two different ways within the space of 10 seconds?
That's because she sometimes has an English accent and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah.
And they also never really say, like, they never say she's English or whatever.
Do you think the actress is deaf and that's what is going on?
And so that they just
assign she walks
that
in, good morning, class. And then later on, she's like, okay, class, here's what we're going to do.
Right.
It's one or the other lady.
She just slips in and out of Englishness. Ugh. And they don't explain that.
But at least pronounce certain words the same way every time.
And within seconds of each other.
Yes!
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Ask for another take.
Yeah.
I get the sense that second takes were few and far between.
They don't
on
have
show.
They want to get out of here.
Yeah. We're
these
burning daylight, guys.
These 50-year-old men got to get out of here. Got to get home to our families.
We all have terrible prostates.
Yeah.
We all have to go to the bathroom. Flomax has not been invented yet. We can't stand around here.
That cheer again. We got to get out of here. We got to go soak our dentures or whatever. Okay.
Soak our dentures.
So, Miss Simpson, well, here's another inconsistency, though, because she goes, you know, Screech says something dumb per usual, and she mishears it. Like, he goes, hey, what? It's something that rhymes with curly, because she goes, yes, your hair is curly. And he's like, what? That's not what I said. Mm-hmm. And then she calls Zach and Kelly to come up and read a poem, because they're like, the school's best couple. And then Jesse goes, no, let me and Slater do it instead to, like, save them the embarrassment because she knows they broke up.
I also love, she says, we're going to, she, like, dives right into it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read some love poems. They're by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. First, she says Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
Yeah.
And then the reaction of the class is like, oh, no. Like, they know what that means.
Like, oh, her.
Not
she's
the
my
most,
least favorite poet.
Not the most romantic poet of all time.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, yeah, she says, you're going to do this. And then Slater tries to save the day.
Right. But when she does, when Jesse jumps up and goes, let me and Slater do it, she hears her perfectly. She's like, oh, sit down, Jesse. Don't be such an attention hog or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute. She's equidistant away from you as Screech, and you don't hear him at all, but you hear her perfectly.
And she should be able to hear everything because everyone delivers their lines at the exact same volume.
Yeah.
The acting, I will say, and my apologies to any cast members who are listening.
Right.
But Zach.
We have to talk later about that. We'll talk later.
And I've met Tiffany Thiessen as well.
Okay.
I worked with her on a pilot years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so I feel like they will understand if they watch an episode of this. Mm-hmm. The acting is uniformly terrible.
Of course.
Like it is, even for kids.
Right.
It's like, what was the audition process like? How long did they have an afternoon to cast this entire series? It's like we are almost out of time. We have to a child's life hangs in the balance. Like, was someone kidnapped? Why? This was really the best to play these roles. It's unbelievable.
Look, I'm on board with you, except I would say Zach. I think Zach kind of nails it sometimes. And now I'm going to take a drink to punctuate how much I mean that.
You do that. He does not. I would say the person who comes out the best, I think, of this crop of kids is Tiffany Thiessen.
You think so?
I think has the most peaks and valleys of her line deliveries.
Okay.
Everyone else is just, it's right here all the time. Happy, sad. This is what you get. This is what talking sounds like. The worst offender, of course, being Screech.
Of course.
Who,
we'll agree on that.
At one point, like, we'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, okay. So Zach and Kelly have to get up and read this poem to each other. And, you know, of course, Zach is like, And Miss Simpson, you know, she's a teacher. She's not in the cool gossip. She doesn't know they broke up. And Zach just tries
she
to
knows
like,
that they are. She knows that they are a hot ticket. These two are together.
Yes.
Everyone loves the idea of them together.
Yes, but she is not. She does not yet know. She's not privy to the information that's gone south.
Well, it's just happened. I mean, they're trying to keep a lid on it.
It's true.
Look, the gang is trying to control the conversation.
Because, I mean, obviously this damages the whole school. The whole school is going to be sad about it, as we saw in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, but of course, he just tries to go, hey, how much I love you, count the ways, like get through the poem like super duper fast. And then that's when Miss Simpson's like, slow down.
Oh,
you guys
no.
totally love each other, like, you know, with feeling.
Yeah. How does this deaf old lady know even what he's saying?
Right. And then also, weirdly, I feel like even if she thinks they're still together and all that kind of stuff, like, I don't think a teacher, that's like super inappropriate. Did anything like that ever happen in your high school?
What?
Like, where do you think that they would really have, like, a teacher? I can't imagine a teacher getting a real life couple to get up in front of the class and be like, hey, no, you guys slow down and stare into each other's eyes and like really say it lovingly to each other in front of everyone.
Honestly, I don't think that's that crazy.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think that's
weird.
That crazy.
Okay.
I mean,
even the idea of a teacher knowing like who's going out with who is weird to me.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I mean, I guess you see stuff, and because you have to deal with these kids all day, you end up having to deal with their bullshit too.
Right?
You know
I
what
guess.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
If somebody's who's a decent student and their work is suffering because they're hung up on some girl or guy, I imagine that you become aware of these things.
Right.
And also, I mean, just out of sheer fucking boredom.
Yeah.
Like you sort of like look at these little ants in their little colony and what they're doing.
Right.
You know, I don't know, but I guess to me that didn't seem that strange if they're like the king and queen of the school.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
That wouldn't be, but I could also see the point of if you're a teacher, stay away from anything like that because you never know what, because it's kids.
Yeah, it's almost like encouraging them to like make out in class or something. To me, that's why I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm too
well
sensitive.
You have strong feelings about poetry.
Yeah, well, right,
you feel like it's very personal.
It is a very personal thing
to read poems to each other.
Yes,
in front of a group of people.
The apex of romance that perhaps should be reserved for private time.
Put a tablecloth over that table. I can see its legs, and it reminds me of sexual congress.
Look, I'm a proper lady.
You're a proper young lady.
So I did. I was very sensitive to that, to the public.
I can see your forearms. I can't believe that you would do this. I'm a married man.
Your forearms. I'm so brazen. So yeah, so that's weird to me, and maybe only me. But they read the poem all lovingly to each other in front of the class, and everybody is kind of like, "Oh, this is real tough." And then so the dudes, Slater and Screech, take Zach to the movies to make him feel better for like a dude's night, right?
Yes.
So this is the first of many viewings of my. This is one of my favorite things in the history of the show. The movie that I'm just going to go ahead and name: Two Shots and a Scream.
Yeah.
It's the name of the movie.
Yes. This movie, first of all, can we talk about this theater?
Yes, please.
This movie theater set is so shoddy. It made
so
me
shoddy.
Mad.
Yes.
Like I got angry that they're not even in actual theater seats. They're sitting in high-end folding chairs,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
That are the color of movie theater seats?
Yeah, like maroon.
They were blue.
They were blue. I thought they were like maroon.
They were blue. They should have been maroon.
Isn't that the standard issue movie theater seat?
It is. But
but you're thinking of the ArcLight. Doesn't the ArcLight have blue
that's
seats?
Right.
That's a fancy movie
that's
theater
right.
seat.
This show is ahead of its time in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But they pull out from it, and I can't believe how wide. Again, it's like so shoddy. Like the camera didn't need to go that wide to reveal
how terrible
that
it
this is just two rows of folding chairs. Tighten it up so it looks like
there's
probably
of a crowd.
Yes,
totally.
Why this is like directing 101. I've never directed anything in my life. I feel confident I could pull off a passable movie theater shot.
Right.
Where you would think, yeah, they're in a movie theater.
Yes, of course.
Even like the angle is weird.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing?
Yes.
So
I fully agree with
yeah,
all of this.
So when Kelly and her new boyfriend, whose name escapes me.
Jeff.
I'm sorry, listen. This is the first time and only time I will ever be watching this show. So,
oh, you're not going to come back for round two? Kelly,
is this still season one?
This is like this is the end of season two, beginning of season three, sort of.
Oh my God!
You got to come back. I've got like 15 more episodes to go. It's not a joke.
Maybe you should do for the finale.
Well, I do at some point want to do like a live one.
Yes,
at like Meltdown or something,
and have a few
if
people.
I can figure
have
out how to do
guests.
It. Yeah.
I think you'll figure it out. Yeah, you obviously have to screen it for the audience.
Yeah, we'll just watch it ahead of time. And
let's
then
not discuss this for the listener.
Secret.
Yes.
Yeah, behind, this is well, behind the curtain shit. Okay.
Exactly. Why are people's names in a box?
Yeah.
So they come in, and then these two shots in the scream are so terrifying that she jumps into his arms.
And that's all. The only scene, you hear a car like peel out. Like you hear a break. You're like, and then you hear, pew, pew, ah! That is all you hear of the entire movie. And everybody loses their goddamn minds.
Yeah, otherwise it's dead silence. Movies are loud. Even if you went to see fucking Hannah and her sisters.
Yeah, of course.
It would be loud.
Yeah, exactly. Even like a Merchant Ivory joint
yes,
is going to have
they're projected
on
a gigantic
on.
Screen,
yes.
And there's gigantic speakers all
yes,
around.
Yes.
So even people whispering is louder than anything
yes,
that's happening
yes,
otherwise in the theater. And of course, I guess the noise of Kelly jumping into Jeff's
yeah,
arms?
She like squeals.
Yes.
Well, here's my thing. Not to steamroll over you, but they come in and they're like three rows behind them.
Hold on a second. Kelly, just so people know, Kelly and Jeff come in. Yes. They're three rows
behind
the boys.
The dudes. Had Scream and Screech.
They're in the very last row of this three-row movie theater.
Exactly. And the guys are in the front row. And Screech and Slater like freak out. Had they not said anything, Zach would have been none the wiser. It's not like he's going to crane his neck and go, I'll just take a survey of the movie theater.
Yes, because they hear Kelly, like these two weirdos who they hear Kelly scream.
Yeah.
And then they turn around.
Yes.
Why?
None of that ever would have happened if everybody had just sat there and been like, oh, the movie's going on. They didn't hit and whisper to each other like, oh my God, Kelly's here, whatever, and
yes,
try to hide it. He never would have known.
But if you were at a movie mm-hmm, and somebody screamed, would you turn
no,
around
never,
to
like,
look at them?
No, I never would. Unless.
Are we supposed to believe that they recognize Kelly's scream?
Yeah.
That scream sounded like Kelly.
Exactly.
I've heard her be scared before.
Yes, exactly. That's what I can't figure out, too, because I'm with you. Like, you wouldn't. If it's a violent, I guess, ? Movie, like two shots equals a violent movie. So if somebody screams in that situation, it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. And no, I wouldn't look.
No, never.
I mean, if it's like a comedy and somebody starts screaming, then yeah, maybe I'd look at them because I'm like, what are you doing? But in this situation, no. I
you
would not
what?
Look back at
to
them.
To be fair, we don't know the genre of film.
Yeah,
maybe
right,
this is unusual.
Right. But no, I wouldn't look at them. So that makes me think that he does recognize her scream. Like, maybe he does turn around.
Do you know what it makes
like,
me think?
What does it make you think?
That these shitty writers did not give a shit about the dumb kids watching the show. And had nothing but contempt for them.
Hey, you calling me dumb retroactively?
I'm saying that's how the writers viewed you. They
right,
had contempt for little April Richardson.
I'm like crying laughing.
Sitting there in her Oshkosh bagoshes or whatever, however old you were watching this show.
This when I was like 15. That makes me even dumber.
I don't know. What was his style?
Because I was like super into it.
What was his style when you were a
no,
kid?
But I just love that you assume like clearly to be entertained by this, you were probably pushing 8 years old. And I'm like, no, dude, I was in high school.
I forgot that they were in high school. Yes, they had nothing
yes,
but contempt for you and your little pals that
okay,
were watching the show.
Right. Fair enough. Anyway, I'm like literally tearing up. I'm laughing so hard. Okay. Yeah, so they turn around and they see that it's Kelly and Jeff. But we don't see them do anything. Like, she's like hugging on him because she got scared by the two shots. But then yeah, the next
and
day.
And the scream.
And the scream. But they're not like doing anything. And then the next day at school, you know, Zach is. But I also wrote this down. I got to say, too, this is just a detail that I like to demonstrate how Screech is a genius and portrayed as such grades wise and everything,
yes,
but how he's such a dumb idiot socially because.
When it's convenient.
Because
he's
they. Then Slater thinks, well, we got to get Zach out of here so he doesn't see Kelly.
This is after the protracted Pig Latin conversation.
Pig Latin, of course.
Which. When you were a kid, did you know about Pig Latin? Like, you're the age of these people
yeah,
when the show's happening,
know,
right?
I don't recall ever speaking in Pig Latin?
I think I knew what it was from old movies, maybe.
Yeah.
But me and my friends didn't
do it. Yeah,
it
wasn't a thing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also not a... It's not a thing that you can employ to speak openly.
Of course, because it's so easy to
figure out. In code,
yeah,
yes.
Because you figure out in 2 seconds.
Why, and also, why isn't Zach saying, would you guys shut the fuck up? I'm trying to watch this movie.
I'm trying to watch two shots in screen.
2S&AS.
I really want it to be called that.
That's not a bad title
two
for a movie.
Two shots in a screen.
That is actually not a bad title
like
for a movie.
That sounds like a Guy Ritchie movie or something.
Oh, yes,
it would work.
Now I'm off board.
Oh. Well, so yeah. I feel like Guy Ritchie.
I am offending your sensibilities with everything I say.
Not at all. Not at all.
Did you like those Sherlock Holmes movies?
I did not see those. I like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels very much. Snatch very much.
Snatch was the beginning of the end for me.
I did not see the Sherlock Holmes ones.
I felt like Sherlock...
that he's a little too much. Like, let's throw more slow motion punching in there. Like, I get that.
I felt like what's so funny to me about the Sherlock Holmes movies is these are movies about a guy who's supposed to be the smartest person in the world.
Right.
Directed by someone who does not know what to do with smart people.
Right.
So he's just like, how would he? Oh, I know. He'll think about how he's going to beat people up. He'll plan it out.
Is that what the slow motion punching things are? Him
yes,
fantasizing
it's like,
about beating people
it's
up?
Like someone comes up to Sherlock Holmes like, oh, I'm going to beat you up, Sherlock Holmes. And then Sherlock Holmes is like, right femur, left artery, whatever. Like how he's like zoom, 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 looking at the guy's body. Like how I'm going to cripple him. And then like acting it out in his head. Then he does it again. So you see the same action twice.
Please tell me what you just said is true, that people do come up and spell it out and say, I'm going to beat you up, Sherlock Holmes.
It's 1% subtler than that.
Well, all I got to say is that Guy Ritchie brought Jason Statham to the world. So thank you, Guy Ritchie, for that alone.
Sure.
I am indebted to you.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So they're watching the Guy Ritchie vehicle, two shots in the screen.
Two shot in his screen.
And so I forgot where I was going. Oh, so they see Kelly, Slater, and Screech are trying to get Zach out of there. That's when they start talking Pig Latin.
Yes.
And then that's when Screech thinks I'll fake being sick so that way we have to leave the movie early.
Yeah.
And he immediately goes, ow, my pancreas.
Ow, my pancreas.
And so I wrote that down because it's like, real. You could literally say anything that would make it, ow, my knee, ow, my throat hurts, ow, any, but my pancreas is his go-to.
That's like, okay, picture these writers in a weird moment of almost trying, yeah. Right?
Right?
Where they're like, what's a funny body part that we can say on the air? How about pancreas?
Right.
Done. Let's get out of here. I want to get down to Santa Anita because I got a hot tip on a horse in the last race of the day.
They would totally be in the horse racing.
Absolutely. Oh, they spent more time reading the racing form.
More time at the tracks.
Yeah.
Than they did
the tracks.
Isn't it the tracks?
Well, they hit the tracks. The track. Just the one track.
Oh, I don't know.
We going down to the tracks then?
Oh, God. I'm seriously crying with laughter. Okay. So, Alma Pancreas, Screech is an idiot. Okay. So, the next day at school, you know, Zach comes in. He's all dejected. And they're like, what's the deal? And he's like, yo, saw Kelly at the movies. It was real tough. And they're like, and Lisa and Jess, you're kind of like, hey, everybody goes to the movies. And then that's when he's like, not everybody totally makes out with their boyfriend at the movies. And I'd be like, yeah, a lot of people probably do. But, you know.
That's yeah, true.
He's like, yeah, oh my God, what a dick. Oh, but I also wrote down how the beginning, though, is Jesse and Lisa having a conversation about what Jesse should get her for her birthday. And now she's like, MC Hammer.
She's mad at her dad.
Oh, yeah, because her dad said she can have anything she wants.
And she wanted MC Hammer.
MC Hammer.
And again, huge lag. And then, whoa!
But that, I never knew, and this is my time. I saw MC Hammer live, P.S., with Boyz II Men opening. It was pretty great. But not for 1 second did I ever think that guy was like a hot dude. Like, I didn't know anyone
but
who was
see,
like, he's hot.
That's another thing that I couldn't tell from the reaction of the crowd whether it was like, oh, she thinks MC Hammer is sexy.
Yeah.
It was such a confusing reaction. Some people, but it was weird. It wasn't like a straight up.
Yeah, it was like half woo, half laughter.
There was another one. There was something that Slater says where, oh, yeah, when he, earlier when he goes, he refers to Jeff as that frat boy babe stealer.
Yeah.
And there's another reaction from the crowd that seemed confused.
Yeah.
Where people are like, what do we, I don't know what we do.
Do so we woo just or this, do we laugh?
Yeah, it was just this general noise, like a right. wash of noise, like, and that's almost what happens again at this point, where people are like, woo.
I heard enough woos to be like, maybe that's a thing. Like, that was, I'm like, more than one person is wooing.
I've heard more than my share of woos.
So, I'm like, MC Hammer is a hot dude? Like, that's a thing. I didn't know whatever was a thing. So,
He's an attractive man.
Yeah, but he...
Can you look at MC Hammer now and say, yes, there's nothing wrong with him.
I'm just saying, I don't remember a time ever where it was like, he was marketed like flexing.
He's not like busted.
You know, I don't remember him ever being like, yeah, ladies, on any...
No, but I'm just asking you now.
Oh,
as a mature person, can
like
you
would
look
I go
at,
on a date with him?
Can you? No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, can you look at Mr. MC Hammer and say, "I think you're a handsome man."
Handsome is strong.
Cute.
That's even weirder.
He has his charms.
Not ugly.
Not ugly.
Handsome is really pushing it.
Mm-hmm. What hip hop star from that era? Would you classify as handsome?
Oh, it's got to be from that era.
Yeah, from that era. That maybe you didn't think was attractive then, but now you could look at it and say, oh, he's a good looking guy.
See, I don't know. I can tell you like modern day dudes, but from that era that I think is like handsome. I mean, like Tupac wasn't bad. What is this conversation?
I don't know.
Anyway. Okay.
So I think at this point we've seen the first Zach's soliloquies.
Yeah.
His House of Cardsing.
Yes. Where you turn to me and you're like, he's talking to the camera,
yes,
right?
Because I
like,
forgot
yes,
that
is.
Was the thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because I was making a note and then I looked up and I realized he must have done this.
Right.
And so at this point I wrote down, why didn't he use his magical powers to his own benefit? Has this been discussed before?
100 million times, because okay. Not only because he can talk to the camera, freeze time. Freezing
yes.
time solves every, like, that, yes.
So when he freezes time,
yeah.
does he then affect reality?
Yes.
He does things.
Yes.
He'll, like, place things in people's hands,
yes.
or he'll take things away.
Yes, in which case, it's like, if you can do that, you can just solve all of your problems, and
yes.
arguably the world's problems.
Right, right, right. Now, when he does this, does mm-hmm. he ever say to us, the viewer, does he ever say, I'm doing this, this will fix everything?
No, he just goes like, time out, and then everybody freezes, mm-hmm. and then he'll say to the camera, yeah, he will go, but he always uses it to do the most mundane things. Like the last time he used it, Mr. Belding was having a fight with his wife or something, so he froze time to send them each flowers from each other, which I'm like, you could do that without freezing time. Just get on
That's
the phone
true.
And do that in 2 seconds, they won't know. But yeah, so he always...
But then when he unfreezes time, do the flowers show up right then?
No. They just go about their day and then... But sometimes that does happen. Sometimes he does freeze time and does put things
right.
in people's hands or like put somebody face to face with somebody and then when he unfreezes time, they're like, hey, I got to talk to you now.
Right.
But it always seems to be the most mundane things.
Okay.
He
I
does
didn't
not
know,
use his time freezing to the utmost.
I did not realize that he actually physically changed the world. I thought it was just that he was talking to us,
right.
the unseen
No, sometimes
audience.
He does things... He does physically do things, and sometimes, yeah, he'll just talk to the camera.
I thought maybe he was forbidden to interfere, like Uatu, the Watcher.
Oh, no, there are zero rules. There are no, like, hard and fast time-space continuum rules.
I hate these writers so much. I hate them so much.
I have to say, though, that that's a thing we're so off to. I could talk to you for hours on all of these topics, but that's a thing I can't handle even watching now, like, adult, actually good, well-written movies mm-hmm. that don't abide by any rules of space travel
by their
or time
own rules.
Travel. I hate that so much.
If you have to, if you're establishing a universe, you're establishing rules of that universe.
And you must follow
you
them.
You must follow your own rules.
Thank you.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all.
You can make up, but I know your thing with like vampires or whatever, but it's like, if you, I think it's okay to rewrite other people's thing and
as
say, this is our mythology. But follow your own. You have to follow your own rules.
Right.
But also, you have to have some parameters for things.
I think so, too.
Even, so, like, yeah. Let's say your vampires are allowed to go out during the day. That's the whole
that thing infuriates the vampire.
That's another shoddily written thing.
Me.
Yes, Twilight is like a shoddily written
but
thing.
But I also think that for time travel, I almost think there should be a time travel handbook that everybody in, like, I don't know, the Writers Guild or something all agree on. And it's like, if you ever have a movie that involves time travel, you have to consult the time travel handbook. It has to be, because I'm tired. It's like, if you're already asking me to believe this thing, mm-hmm. okay, but you got to have logic in your thing. I don't know. I don't know.
I understand.
That's just me being annoying, maybe, but...
It's not your genre.
It's not. It is in a way. Sometimes it is, but then sometimes I'm like, okay, this is going too far even for me, and I'm kind of dumb. So it's like, if I'm already on board, science-wise, I'm a total idiot. So it's like, if even me, this total idiot, is going, wait a minute, there are some loops, there are some holes in this that need mm-hmm. to be cut, like, then it must be really bad. I don't know.
Yes.
So any of that kind of stuff annoys me anyway, okay. And even sometimes in Saved by the Bell land, because I am like, you're freezing time. You could go fix wars.
I'm sorry to bring up a well-trod topic.
No, it's okay, because I could talk about it forever. Okay, so the next scene is in Zach's room where he's finally like, look, I got to get over this. It's been 24 whole hours. I need to get over this woman. I'm
going to move on with my life.
Yeah. And so he's like,
he's going to make a great widower someday.
So he starts like thinking of ways to distract himself. So of course he's like, I'll do homework, a thing I never do. And then he looks at his book, and of course all over
this.
His book it's like, I love Kelly, Kelly's the best.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck that, I'll turn on the TV. And it's like, coming up next on Married with Children, Kelly dumps her boyfriend. And he's like, turns on the radio. And even on the radio, somebody is like, Kelly something.
Commercial for the Kelly Girls, which I think was an actual business. It was
know that was a thing.
It was like a secretarial business or something.
Oh, okay, I thought it was just made up for the thing.
I think it was an actual thing.
Oh. Well, the point is everything in his room is coming up Kelly.
It's reminding him of Kelly.
Everything.
Which also, I was always under the impression that this character was some, not like a player necessarily, but he's certainly a schemer, and he certainly didn't seem like the type of character that would be crushed by a girl breaking up with him.
Well, he's always portrayed as, like, the hottest guy in the school.
Of course.
Of course. And, like, that all the girls want him.
Yes, his hair is like a beautiful cake.
It's a cake! But he... So he is that, but he always is hung up on Kelly.
Okay.
So...
Well, I knew he was always trying to, like, get her.
Yeah.
But I didn't think... I guess I didn't give him enough credit for having feelings.
Zach has
a
heart.
And I thought it was... I guess I thought
it was all
sexual.
Underneath all that scheming... He totally has a heart. All
right.
So everything in this room is like, Kelly, Kelly, Kelly. And then that's when Screech comes in.
Dressed head to toe like a fucking pothead.
Oh, my God.
Like, I know he's supposed to be a nerd.
Yeah.
And so he's wearing, like, these weird patterns and everything, but he just looks like a total stoner.
And everything is, like, size triple XL minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. David was on, and he nailed it, saying he was dressed like Randy from MTV. Remember Randy from MTV?
Randy of the Redwoods?
Yeah.
Jim Turner, yes, of course.
He totally is dressed like that guy.
But who's like a stoner character.
Well, yeah, that's
like,
right.
But Screech looks like a dude who would follow fish around the country.
Yes, yes, that's a good point.
He doesn't
point.
Look like a nerd.
That's true.
He looks like a guy who is into narcotic drugs.
Yes, yes, which is funny because all the rest of the nerds, you know, quote unquote,
they're classic
are like
nerds.
Classic nerds.
Even I saw
tape around the glasses.
I saw some ancillary nerds.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they have tape around the glasses. They have their pocket protectors.
So it is weird that, I mean, I guess Screech is just supposed to be a weird dude, like in every way, shape, or form.
Right.
So he's supposed to be like even a nerd as far as nerds go, I guess. Do you know what I mean? I feel like he's an outcast amongst the nerds.
Maybe this is what Dustin Diamond wanted to wear on the show.
Yeah, he was like, let me have this one thing, you guys. Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing him complain.
God.
Also, none of us here care about our jobs. So who gives a shit? Wear whatever you want, Dusty. Wear your own clothes.
Dusty!
I don't fucking care.
Dusty Dimes.
Well, I gotta listen to grief from this child. I did
I'm a
I did wardrobe
man.
On Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Oh my God. It'd be so great. Just like everybody else on air is super experienced and totally worked on like other
well
established
things.
Well,
because it's like in Hollywood, you, especially if you are a behind the scenes professional,
mm-mm.
you never know what you're not necessarily going to work on amazing stuff all the time.
Right, of course.
And the same woman who edited Lawrence of Arabia, won an Oscar for editing Lawrence of Arabia,
mm-hmm.
also edited the Masters of the Universe movie.
What, really?
I think that was like her last job. Yes.
That's crazy. So, yeah. I mean, that is true then that people who worked on this could have totally worked on.
Not the writers, though. These writers are shit. It would not have, and it's been said on this podcast before, it would not have taken that much effort to make this show marginally acceptable.
Right, right. Marginally
they
acceptable.
Clearly have contempt for these children. Anyway, I'm sorry. I feel like this will be your longest episode ever.
No, it won't be.
Oh, are you
Jimmy's
sure?
Was pretty long.
Jimmy's was, oh yeah, he had to leave and come back.
He had to leave and come back. Yes. And plus it was like an epic episode. Was, yes, plus length, it doesn't matter when it's all gold. That doesn't matter. This is all good. It's all good stuff.
We'll see how much lasts.
So who cares?
Once you take the editing
sessions to it. Oh, no way. I'm super not editing a second of this. So Zach's like bumming in his room, and then everybody, I think the gang kind of come in because, it's like everybody
yes.
comes in to be like, you got to cheer up. You got to get over this again. It's been 24 whole hours. Yeah. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, you can't stay in your room forever. And I wrote this down because Screech goes, oh, well, why not? It's a pretty cool room. As evidenced by, and this is the first time I've noticed this in all the times I've watched this, the giant UB40 poster. That tripped me out hard because that's another a case of like the set dressers are like, what's cool right now? I guess this is like when Red Wine came out and they're like, oh, that's a cool thing. Because zero teenagers I knew listened to UB40.
Here's what I think the set decorators were thinking. What free shit do we have lying around here?
What record labels are we in cahoots with that'll just give us free posters?
Exactly.
Yeah,
What do kids have on their walls?
Posters.
Let's put some posters
up. Of what? Doesn't matter.
Go to the poster bin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's like the central focus.
We'll
of
find
the room.
Out when we unroll them and stick them to the wall what they are.
So one's a UB40 poster. So Zach is a huge UB40 fan.
Yeah. A periodic table of the elements.
Yeah. So that's
Thomas
when
Brothers map.
Yeah, just stuff, because there's like teenagers have stuff on their walls, and so do 34-year-old women.
Yeah.
So.
You got them in frames, though. God bless you. You got them in frames.
But these are the cheapest.
These are
available.
Barely in frames.
They're barely in frames.
Do you know,
I'm not a one percenter.
I had this Shoplifters of the World Unite poster that I hung in the break room of Hats in the Belfry in Philadelphia.
That's it. You brought your own poster in.
Somebody's our manager said, hey, let's brighten this place up a little bit. Why don't you go get some stuff to hang? And this is one of the posters.
That's amazing. And for those of you who can't see this, which is everyone except the two of us.
Let me hold the mic up to it.
It is a Smith poster. And for me, this is two birds with one stone because it's a Smith poster with a picture of Elvis.
Yes.
So it's like, come on, two favorite tastes together.
Do we know why they used the image of Elvis on that particular poster?
Well, Morrissey chose all of the Smiths artwork personally, and he just liked it because it's one of the earliest pictures of Elvis, and it was before he started dyeing his hair and stuff, and he has like a crew cut almost.
Yeah,
it's just like a young Elvis.
All right, asked and answered. Moving on.
But yeah, that's awesome that you had that same poster. But
it's pretty great.
Unlike me, you grew out of it.
I left it there at Hats in the Belfry.
I never will.
No, you never.
These will be the centerpieces of my house that I will never own. Okay. Yeah. So they are like, Lisa comes in and is like, I got some people to set you up with.
Yes.
Again,
do they all come from, no, they don't all come from Lisa.
No.
Because the last one, it comes from Screech.
It's Lisa, then Jesse, and then Screech.
Okay.
Because they do the voiceovers during these trial dates.
Yes. Lisa sets Zach up with the first 50-year-old woman.
She is easily 50 years
They go
old.
Back to the tiny movie theater.
Yes.
To see
two shots
another,
in the
it's held over for its second smash week. Two Shots in the Scream is playing. Zach didn't get to see all of it last time, so why not go back and see it again? We hear the titular Two Shots in the Scream as this 50-year-old is telling Zach, what was the weird
Jackie
thing about
Collins
her?
Jackie Collins novels.
Jackie Collins. I was so distracted by how old she was.
She was super old. And
super old.
Well, they're 16.
Comparatively, yes.
She's easily like pushing 50.
Yes.
And talks, not only talks the entire, like the whole thing is like, this lady's annoying because she talks all the time.
Yes.
Full stop. But also talks all the time during a movie.
Yes.
So,
unacceptable.
Not acceptable at all. So she's double annoying, and then also she's only talking about Jackie Collins novels, which is also a thing a 50-year-old woman would do.
So weird.
Zero
it's
teenage
really
girls
weird.
Read Jackie Collins novels.
Yeah.
If they wanted to be accurate, she'd be yammering on about Babysitter's Club or
this
something.
This is like one of these old writers putting his hatred of his own wife into this script.
100%. I feel
like,
the same way.
What are annoying things?
What are these broads yap about?
Ugh, you know what? My fucking wife won't shut up about Jackie Collins.
100% what I was thinking too. Totally
absolutely.
Ripped from that guy's headlines. So
he law and ordered it.
Yeah,
into the script.
He totally did. So that's the first date, and the voiceover is Lisa being like, "She's really smart and reads a lot," and that comes out. Her
what does she read? The most vile trash known to teenagers.
Totally.
Jackie Collins
totally.
Novels.
So she talks throughout the whole thing.
Right.
The next girl suggested by Jesse. Again, we cut to. Matinee, maybe, of two shots in the screen.
Yes. Do you think these all took place the same day? Do you think he gave himself a season pass to the day? Was he in the same clothes? I don't remember.
I don't remember if he was in the same clothes.
Wouldn't be surprised, though. Would it surprise you?
No, wouldn't be surprised at all. And also, it would be great if he did, if they're all in the same day, because then he could get in the movie for free. He bought one ticket and just met all the girls. He was like,
exactly.
Meet me at the movie theater, and just snuck in
yeah.
three times.
Yeah.
Two shots in the scream.
Yeah.
So, second time, Jesse's like, hey, all these euphemisms. She's got a hunger for life.
Yeah.
Because, of course.
She's a gripping fat person.
Total fat chick. Also, she totally isn't that fat.
No.
Like, not that it matters anyway, as far as, like, you shouldn't
she's not, like, morbidly obese.
Yeah.
But to drive home the idea that she is fat and therefore disgusting.
Of course.
She's eating popcorn, and at one point, she grasps the bucket
yes.
with both hands
yeah.
and throws food into her face.
Yes, yes.
There's no other way around it. That is what she does.
Yep.
Get it?
That's
she's a big fat
that's
monster.
That's how fat people eat, of course.
Fat people, they want to eat so badly, they're like, I got to get this food in me by any means necessary. She throws food in her face like a pig at a trough. Who grew opposable thumbs. That was a bummer.
It was a total bummer, and it's another
that
case.
That was a bummer.
This show, it's so weird how there are some episodes where the moral is, like, be nice, everybody, or give people different from you a chance.
Yes.
But then there are episodes like this where they're like, fat people should never be given a chance, and you should never go on dates with them because
yeah.
they're monsters.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. First of all, they're following the rule of two of comedy.
Yeah.
Where what are two things you don't want to have happen on a date? Well, somebody who talks about romance novels.
Yeah.
You know, Jackie Collins novels.
Boring.
Or a fatso.
A fatso.
The end. Full. We're done. I think we can still make the 19th hole, boys.
That's totally what those 50-year-old white dudes think is terrible about women.
Yeah.
Yeah. When your broad's got a little extra weight. When she won't stop yammering about
might have been,
novels.
You know what? Might have been about the same guy's wife.
Oh, absolutely.
She let herself go.
Absolutely.
I married her. She was a size one. Now that's just the beginning of the size she is. You know what I'm saying? Add a couple digits.
Right, exactly.
She's into the triple digits, boys. You wonder why I drink at work.
Can you think of anything grosser? Write it down. Totally.
I like your little character work like there. Can you think of anything grosser?
I was trying to rise up to your level
good.
Of
it was good. I'm saying it was good.
Thank
I've
you.
Never heard you do accent work before.
Thank you.
It was good stuff.
You might not again.
Please don't say that.
Yeah, so then we get to the third person, and it's Screech doing the voiceover. So at first you think, oh, this is really going to be
you imagine?
A fucking nasty one.
A lady, Screech, I bet.
Oh, because he says, you haven't met my cousin. And that's the introduction, so you're like, oh my God, this will be the grossest person alive. And it shows up, the hottest lady ever.
She's a beautiful cougar.
Easily
she's
my age,
be,
easily mid-30s.
She's older than you.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
She looked like she was 40 years old.
Okay. But beautiful.
She's a beautiful 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Who looks like she just got off work from whatever office she works in.
Of course, yeah, yeah. Has like long blonde, but like the statue up, stereotypical, like long blonde hair, blue-eyed, long leg. Like,
yes.
When you say beautiful lady, this
absolutely.
Comes to mind.
She's there to see two shots in a screen. When, let's just refer to it as the moment happens, she, of course, jumps into Zach's arms, and he's
okay.
thinking, this is going to be A-okay.
Because she doesn't talk.
Nope.
She's not eating.
Keeps her fucking mouth shut all the way around.
That's right. Does everything right. Everything
yeah.
a woman should be doing.
Be quiet and get on me. when I want you to get on me. Exactly. If you hear two shots and a scream, you better be throwing your fucking arms around my neck.
That's right, lady.
Madam.
So to Zach, it's like, this is a perfect day. It's going perfectly. I had these two nightmare dates. Now this one's perfect.
I shall have my revenge.
That's right.
All.
So he goes, so after everything goes awesome and she's a dream come true, he's like, I know somewhere we can go. Yes. That's really great.
It's the one place in town that exists. Small place, the Palisades. There's a high school. There's one diner. The end.
That's it. Even though we have all this money. And all of these rich people live here.
And was that the idea of the show? Was that it would be fun to sort of, like, as a kid, you're going to vicariously enjoy the adventures of these rich kids?
You would think that, but there are an alarming amount of shows where the plot is like, we don't have enough money to do this thing. Right. Like, that's what blows my mind about so much of it.
Right.
And especially Kelly, because Kelly's supposed to be, like, the poor one, quote unquote. But there are lots of times where they're like, we don't have money for, like, the school field trip. And I'm like, how do you not? Like, you go to the school in the palace. Like, Malibu's, like, the richest county or whatever.
And why is the school organizing some field trip that its students cannot afford?
Yeah, it's...
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Hey, guys. Good news. Great field trip idea. Bad news. It's a little on the pricey side.
Yeah, it's like, we're
definitely going because we're adults. We have our own money.
If you guys could catch up with us money-wise, yeah, we'll see you there.
Otherwise,
if you can't,
teach yourselves all day. Yeah. Please do me a solid. Show up to class. Someone take control.
We'll take your word for it.
So they go there to the max. They go there to the max, and the gang's already there, all sitting together.
But also there, I gotta say, because before Zach shows up with the lady.
So, I can't wait. You're so emphatic about this
because
point.
Because they're already there hanging out. Crew's there hanging out. Kelly still works there in the place that her boyfriend's the boss.
Right, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't
this
catch you up.
This is very unethical.
Well, he's not only is he the boss and he's dating her, he said in the previous episode he's like a sophomore in college. So he's like 19 or 20 dating a 15 or 16
really
year
creepy.
Old. Super creepy.
And this happens a
likely
lot on the show,
illegal.
Right?
No, not like college, no.
Okay.
So
it just always looks that way.
Yeah.
Everyone always looks too old to
yeah,
be dating these
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. Like whoever this lady is that Screech's cousin, it's presumably supposed to be 16.
Yes.
But Jeff is 19 or 20, dating a 15 or 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Creepy, possibly illegal. Also not cool. Like your college friends
gross.
Would like rip you a new one.
That's
if they're like
disgusting.
Totally. If they're like, oh, you're dating a sophomore in high school, like way to go, loser. Like
yeah,
they would
yeah.
super make fun of
it's
him.
It's gross.
Yeah. It's totally weird.
And also, quick sidebar. His hair is it's so crazy.
It's huge.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what is happening on top of his head.
Many, many different kinds of gels.
It looks
and
like
creams.
A science project.
It's
it
huge.
Looks like a diorama.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
To be studied.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he's there and Kelly is working there. And that's the thing is the crew is kind of mad at her now, but yet they still go there and they're being dicks to her.
And the way they're dicks is she comes over and says, what can I get you?
Yeah.
I'll take your order. And then three in a row, cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Just give her a terse cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then Screech says, can I hear about the specials?
Of course.
And then everybody's mad at Screech. Why can't he hear about the specials?
Because they're like, don't, you know, talk to her as the least amount as possible. But I'm like, wouldn't you just go to a different place where, like, this person you're mad at doesn't work?
That would
work?
Solve more problems.
Why would they? But they're like, no, again, we have to go to this one place.
Yeah.
But then, of course, Zach shows up with the lady because he's like, I'm going here on purpose to make Kelly jealous.
Yes. Now, and another quick sidebar. This is the moment when I got super bummed out because when we open on the gang in the booth at the Max, Screech has a spoon on his nose.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that he would do, I guess.
Of course.
And he looks so young. He looks like such a little child in that moment. And knowing going to happen to him in life. I got really bummed out.
Aw.
I did. I got really bummed out.
On Screech's behalf.
Yeah. Because the world can be a cruel place.
It's true.
If you lose your way. And if you don't have a good sports system, you might end up being Dustin Diamond. Anyway.
Cautionary tale.
Cautionary
all
tale.
All you child actors listening to this right now.
So here comes Zach and Mrs. whatever her name is.
Yeah, Kim. Oh, Kimberly.
Mrs. Kimberly.
He comes in, and then, you know, Kelly's like, hey, can I help you? Weirdly. And then he's like, can you, I want a table, something really romantic.
Yeah.
Which doesn't exist at the Max, yeah, of course. But Kelly's like, right this way.
Really romantic at this weird, clearly daytime-only place.
Yeah, that's also like a 50s diner. Like, there's zero romance going
like
on
a
at 50s all.
50s diner.
Yeah. So she's like, right this way, and like seats him at a table that looks like all the rest of the tables.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're sitting there. And
lit like an airport.
Yeah, totally. But Lisa looks over and genuinely goes, oh, he's really happy. Like, wistfully. Like, what? With this person he met 2 hours ago and got to know during Two Shots and a Scream?
But now, keep in mind, time clearly happens differently for these people in this universe.
It does. Because this is one day them, two post-breakup.
Yes. One of them has the power to stop time altogether.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, for these other people, who knows
how long a day is.
Who knows how long a day is when they are living under the weird mystical rule of this tyrant child who has magical powers, and who knows how it's affecting them physically. Do you know what I mean?
Did they all live in like a snow globe that like Zach holds
maybe so
in his hands?
Maybe
and
so.
Decides the seasons.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like whoever his actual parents are and from whatever planet they are from.
Right.
Or realm, you know, parallel universe, who knows?
Sure.
They clearly were not around to teach him how to use his powers and what they mean.
Right.
So he's figuring it out as he goes. And I wish that there was a series past the college years where it's him as an adult, as
right,
this dark mage.
Right.
Who is like figured out, like, I am all powerful.
It's like some Hogwarts type shit where he's like,
oh, beyond. Yeah. Like really dark.
Yeah.
Like really, really dark. I would love to see that.
Will you write the show with me?
Sure. Absolutely.
Because you know Mark Paul. We can get him to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We can definitely get him to do it. And I of course, know him.
Well, you hung out with him for, like, a few hours. If you called him, he'd be like, yes, what's up, Paul? It wouldn't be like me, where it's like, I don't know who you are, you creep.
There might be a middle ground between I don't know who you are and what's up, Paul.
I feel
like... might be like, how did you get this number?
You think so? You don't think that if you were to call him up...
Why don't you go through the proper channels to contact me about a business venture?
I think you guys got along well in that video I watched. You had... a rapport.
We had a rapport. Clearly.
That I feel like could translate into him starring in the vehicle
Absolutely.
That we're going to write.
Yeah. All right. We'll certainly find out.
Okay, good. This is an oral contract? An oral contract?
It's both aural and oral.
The people can hear it.
That's
and
right.
We are saying it.
That's right. I'm going to mail this podcast to myself.
That's right. All legally binding. So there you go.
That means we got Mark Paul on the hook, too.
You hear this,
if
don't you?
If you listen to this, Mark Paul Gosselaar, if you're listening to this.
By listening to this, you agree to star in this
Silence
show.
Renders consent.
I
Wait,
know the
where
law.
Were we? I'm sorry okay. I keep dragging it down.
No, it's great.
I feel like I'm talking more than anybody ever talks
No, but
on this.
Again, it's all gold, so it doesn't matter. It's not like it's boring
or
something.
For the listener
it's
to
rad.
Decide.
Okay, so.
It's pretty rad. Oh, thank God. I'm on the last page of notes.
Okay, so, yeah,
we're
Lisa.
A quarter of the way through.
Yeah, this. Okay, Lisa is wistfully like, he's really happy with this lady he just met on day two of the breakup. Then he goes, Kelly comes over, what would you guys like? He says, we want one milkshake and two straws, which is the most 1950s move ever.
I don't think it ever happened in life even.
I
think it's just from cartoons.
Yeah, that, again.
From Archie comics.
Yeah,
I
like
think
it never,
it.
I don't know anyone who ever did that as a teenager or
no,
any other times.
Not at all.
And so, but that's what he asked for.
Even someone as old as me has never seen that happen
really?
In life. Yeah.
Ooh.
You'll see when you're my age in a couple weeks.
I already feel that age. I'm so world weary. No, I yeah, and I feel like even the, you know, whatever 50 plus year old writers didn't, they are also like, we saw this in Looney Tunes,
yeah.
So that's a thing we're going to throw in here.
Looney Tunes.
And so she goes to get the milkshake, and then that's when Zach's like, hey, do you want to dance? Now, there's no dance floor at the Max. There has been dancing
no.
at the Max when people have had parties, but
sure.
just the regular, you know, Tuesday.
Yeah.
No dance floor.
To be fair, though, there's no sign that says no dancing.
There's no sign that says no dancing. But dancing here, they get up and do it, like, in between tables.
Yeah. They yes.
No one goes, what?
They get up and dance to, it's fucking what's his name? Zach goes over.
Okay.
Presses a button.
Just presses a button
on the jukebox.
No quarters.
No quarters.
It's a free jukebox.
A song that seems to start in the middle.
In the middle of the song.
It is just straight up library track.
Yes.
It is not an actual song.
Not at all.
Just starts some smooth jazz bullshit. Yes. Saxophone. Horrible.
Yes.
They start slow dancing.
Yes.
And this is a big deal because this is their, this is Kelly and Zach's song.
Now this is everybody refers to it as A12.
Everyone has the jukebox memorized.
A12.
Zach barely looks at the jukebox, like knows just by feel which button to press.
Yes. Now, what I love so much about this, of course, everybody loses their goddamn minds. Even the crew who weren't a part of this couple are like, oh my God, it's A12. A12.
Really? Oh, I didn't notice A12. That.
Yes. Like Jesse or somebody goes, that's A12. How dare he? Everybody
freaks you meant
out.
Like people that are not the immediate.
Oh, no. I just mean their crew
of
friends.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, but that's a weird thing to me. I don't know my friends in couples' special songs. Why would I know that? I'm not in the couple with them.
Not only do you not know their song, but you don't know what number it is on the jukebox.
That is what I wrote down because I'm like, nobody ever refers to the song by its title, which it should have, even though it is like stock footage of music, whatever that's called. You know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Like, even in the show, it would have a title. But nobody refers to it as that. They only refer to it as A12.
Do you think these dudes, who are hungover to begin with, and cannot wait
can't be bothered
to get across the street to the smokehouse to get shithoused again so they can feel good.
They can't come
good.
Up with a fake song title.
There's no way. Like, whoever floated that idea, I guarantee they laughed in his face. What should the song be called? Call it A12, idiot.
Right.
It's not a real song.
Of course.
What is this, your first day?
Yeah. But even still, somebody could have been like, you know, call it like Romantic Sunset or something.
That's what I'm saying. That even that is too much effort. Like the guy who came up with A12 was probably breaking out in a sweat. He couldn't even make it higher in the alphabet. Like he's patting himself on the back for not calling it A1.
Well, that's a steak sauce they probably were well familiar with at the smokehouse.
Absolutely.
So they're like, we'll get sued.
Absolutely.
It can't be A1.
We're too confusing. You're welcome, kids.
You think people are going to be like, are they dancing to a steak sauce?
Yeah. I earned my Writers Guild insurance today.
Right, but they, okay. But to me, that's amazing. Nobody ever, even Kelly, who is the most offended because it's her special song, comes over and is like, that's A12. It's sacred. It's so sacred, I don't know the title of it. Like, that's what's so funny to me. You would clearly be like, Zach, that's Beautiful Romantic Sunsets.
I think you're thinking of environmental CDs, right? Where, like, this will help you sleep.
The Sound of Sunsets.
Yeah.
Turn on The Sound of Sunsets to help
But
you
that
sleep.
Would be a title of, like, a mood thing.
Well, it's so stock footage. It's so just like stock jams.
It's a library track, yes.
Yeah.
Stock jams.
It's just like, you know.
Do you remember years ago you told me one of your resolutions was to, quote, step up your vocab.
And also to tone down the bro.
Did either of those things come true?
It worked for like a year, I think.
What?
I think it
Where was
did.
I? Was that the year I was in New York?
It was. Actually, I think it might have been. Because do you remember you took me out for my 30th birthday? Remember you took me and Chip out to lunch? I was there
oh,
on my 30th
right.
birthday.
I forgot that was in New York. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when I visited. Yeah, that was like one of the best days ever because you took me out to
we
lunch
to the Blue Ribbon
and Billy
Bakery,
Bragg took me out to dinner.
There you go.
It was my 30th birthday weekend, and that was the promise I made both of you guys. I was like, I'm 30. I'm going to tone down the bro.
Tone down the bro. Step up the vocab. Did you think...
And by saying those things...
Yes. Did you think the Enterprise was doomed?
Maybe
because tone down the bro, not bad, but
maybe
step up the vocab.
That's even from a Jay-Z song. I didn't even make it up. But
what?
I think
step
maybe
up
for
the
that,
vocab?
I think maybe for that year it worked a little bit. I will say the last guy who dumped me that I talked about earlier... did sincerely say one time when we were hanging out, you have to stop high-fiving me. Said that very sincerely. And I was like, oh, boyfriends don't like that? And yeah. And then
some do.
He dumped me soon after.
Some boyfriends like that. There might be a dude out there who's like, I just want somebody to high-five all day, all goddamn day. I mean, I want somebody to high-five me when I do not feel like high-fiving.
Again, I'm crying laughing. Look, I tried. I mean, I think it comes and it ebbs and flows.
Absolutely.
So I had a time and a place. Like, you're at my house right now, to be fair. To be fair to me, you're at my house. I get to say jam,
course,
and bros, whatever.
Absolutely.
If I go to dinner with the queen or something, I'll say it fewer times.
Are you having dinner at the palace, or is this like you guys are meeting up somewhere?
I feel like if it's the any circumstances with the queen, I might say bro less, even if it's at like norms.
We're talking QE2, right? We're talking...
Who is she, the alive one right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Our current
yes.
Queen Elizabeth the yes. Second.
I don't know why. She's just the first.
But we're
she's
not
the
talking,
most pomp and circumstances.
We're not talking Beatrix of the Netherlands.
No. I was just trying to think of the most pomp and circumstance person available. And that is the current...
Present company excluded.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You're wearing a fucking watch fob or whatever, and I'm still saying dude to you. I feel like I should apologize.
I will not accept an
you
apology.
You are a pillar of class.
Please.
And
please.
I am defiling that
please.
With my vocab.
You know I love to tell
that
you.
Has not stepped up
I
in the 4 years since I told you it would.
The step upping of which has
I have
yet
let
to
you
occur.
Down. I'm so
you know,
sorry.
You know how you would let me down? If you wouldn't be yourself.
Oh, is that
that's
true?
How you, that's the only way you could let me
I
down,
could
April.
Tone down myself. I could be a toned down version of myself.
Do what you want.
I should do that.
Do...
Like if really you tell me that, and then like the hottest, best guy ever in the world who dumped me, and that's who that guy was, tells me that, maybe I should
do
listen.
Do you really feel like this guy was the best guy in the world?
The best guy in the world. You should have met him that time we were in Charleston. Remember, I texted you, and I was like, you got to come meet my boyfriend, but you're busy. But you could have. He was the best.
He doesn't sound like the best if he dumped you.
Well, that's what I keep trying to tell myself. This is getting sad and real. Wow. Okay.
Life is sad and real.
Well,
like
you know,
this piece of shit show we watched.
Like Zach, I can't get over getting dumped in 2 days. I need longer than 2 days.
It's true.
So, yeah, so he...
Have you tried going to the movies with a fat person?
You know, maybe a few viewings of Two Shots and a Scream would help me pass
the time. Why
don't
you go see the same movie
is
four
that
times?
Is that on Netflix? Two Shots and a Scream?
You really want to see it on the big screen to feel the impact of the scream that follows the two shots.
This is my favorite episode of this podcast by miles. Please know that. No offense to all other guests, but please know that that is true. And it is a fact. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so they're dancing the sacred A12 that is so sacred it cannot even bear a title.
Exactly.
And then, you know, Kelly comes over and says that to him. How dare you dance to this or whatever. And Kimberly sits down. They have an argument. Kelly and Zach have an argument. Kelly slaps him across the face.
It's a pretty good slap, too.
Pretty good slap. And is another pretty, like, super adult thing. I don't remember having any friends of mine ever get slapped in the face as a teenager.
Oh, my God, no.
It was a total adult move.
No. You know what, though? Oh. When I was in my 20s and I was doing stand-up in Philly, I remember this couple that worked there at the comedy club. At the Funny Bone in Philadelphia, there was a bartender and a waitress, and they were going out, and this girl gave this guy such a hard time. And he was a good guy. And I could tell that whenever I would see them have an argument, I could tell it was a thing where she liked everything just so. And right. He had failed her somehow. He was not like a dog or anything. He was not cheating on her.
Right.
He was not like a thoughtless
he
guy.
He wasn't like doing every
clearly,
little thing.
Clearly, yes. He did not anticipate
right.
whatever. Whatever weird thing she had in her head that he was supposed to do. He wasn't following the script that she had written. And the only time I've ever seen this, she dumped a drink on his head. I've never seen that in my life.
Well, that's funny because that also... Yeah. Then Kim throws the milkshake on Zach.
Yes.
And that's the thing is I'm like, those are two, a slap in the face and throwing a drink are two super adult things.
Yeah.
That like I've never seen as an adult. Yeah. And you've only seen that one time. So it's not even commonplace in adult world
no.
and way less so in teenage world.
No. And what has to happen for something like that to happen is extreme. Like
yeah.
you have to have committed some grave offense.
Totally.
Or you're dealing with someone who's unhinged.
Oh, of course.
I will say...
what was the aftermath of that? Was everybody in the bar like, oh my God?
She did it. Oh, it's the most awkward, uncomfortable thing you can imagine. She storms out and then he was just sitting there with like beer dripping down his head, just like shaking his head. Like you could tell, you could see on his face, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what, like clearly I have not, I don't know what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I was supposed to have prevented
this from happening.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
But the I want to say this about the slap. It's like, it's a really well, I honest to God, I think that Tiffany Thiessen acted it very well.
Oh, you don't think they had a Foley artist come in? You think it was a real slap?
No, it looked like a real slap. It looked, okay. It was decent enough, but I also think that she acted that moment very well.
Right.
And then she slaps him and storms off. And then the milkshake on the shirt, if you were going to do that, you would have thrown it in his face.
His face, of course.
And clearly you're like, then if we do, I mean, what if we do a second take of this?
Or we'd have to change the
shirt.
Camera?
Yeah, we got to change his shirt and we got to fix his makeup.
Yeah.
We don't have that kind of time.
Exactly. Easy way out every time.
Happy hour stops in 10 minutes.
Yes.
So she throws it on his shirt. It was just, yes. I feel like if you were going to do
you're
that in life,
commit.
It would be right in his face.
Exactly. I agree. But yeah. Even just the action of doing it at all, I'm like, wow, like that's a thing I never saw a teenager do.
No,
ever.
It's very extreme.
And it's very adult soap
even
opera.
Even for people who are very emotionally turbulent, that is very extreme. But also the way she does it is like, there's something that's very careful about it.
Yeah, she doesn't like commit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like she sort of like makes it look like she's going to throw it and then sort of just like gently pours it.
Yeah.
And he has to like raise his arms like, I can't believe this is happening for longer than
of course and
it should happen.
And then she storms out.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is they're back at school and now everybody's mad at Zach. The script is kind of flipped a little bit and they're like, oh, now you're the
jerk. I would say completely.
Oh, yeah. Completely flipped.
If the previous script had cast Kelly as the villainess, the script indeed has been flipped. And now it is Zach
now
whom we must hiss.
It's right. And so they're all like, now you're a jerk. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you saw Kelly slap me. And they were like, yeah, you deserved it. You're a dick now.
Yeah.
And then Lisa, her party comes back up. And Zach's like, I'm not going unless you.
Yes, his party. Unless you. We've all completely forgotten about.
Yeah, of course. It wasn't mentioned until now. It somehow comes up. And then he goes, I'm not going unless you disinvite Kelly. Which I didn't know disinvite was a word, but it is, I guess. And that made me laugh because...
I allowed it.
But it sounds like such a formal... It's not like, I'm not going to go unless Kelly doesn't go. It's like, unless you disinvite her. It sounds like Lisa's got a server with papers. Like, you are now officially disinvited. And then, of course, Lisa's like, what? I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're both my friends. You can come or not come, but Kelly is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So then this breaking point now on day two, or day two and a half... opens his locker, and that's when he's like, fuck you, Kelly, and like pulls everything out of his locker, rips all the pictures down, and throws out so many things that it's like she was storing her entire closet in his locker.
Sweater, jacket, lucky pom-poms.
A
volleyball.
Yeah, and he's naming these things as he's throwing them out, and it's like, geez, she just kept everything in there, apparently.
That's right.
So he freaks out,
that's
Mr.
when
Belding.
The great Dennis Haskins as Mr. Belding appears.
That's right. This is a pretty Belding light episode because that's like the only time he shows up.
Yeah.
Calls him to his office, but then we don't even see that.
Because he sassed him.
He did sass him, and so he's like, get in my office. Okay.
We do not see.
Don't see what happens.
We just assume he gets in trouble.
The next scene is Lisa's party. I'm sorry. Lisa's house is the exact same house as Screech's house.
I believe the next scene is Zach in his bedroom. Because I remember we went from into my office, and you think. You think you're going to see the scene of him getting dressed down by Mr. Belding.
You're right.
And then he's in his room. It's like, oh, okay, is this part of his?
No, you're
where
absolutely
are we
right
now?
Because Screech comes in to try to talk him into going to Lisa's party. And he's like, I'm not going. I feel like a jerk. And that's when Screech is like, I feel stupid. And he's like, if you can't be stupid in front of your friends, who can you be stupid in front of?
Right.
A solid point. And he kind of starts to change his mind.
When did Screech turn into Atticus Finch?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because he comes correct with another thing. He says, because, you know, he's like, oh, I'm too sad about being dumped. Don't want to see Kelly or whatever. And that's when Screech says, it's better to be dumped by the best looking girl than not to be dumped at all.
Yes. A wonderfully gross sentiment.
I think it rings true in my own life.
From a monstrous individual.
That's how I feel about the last guy. I'm telling you.
That you're... You would rather
at least
be
I got dumped by the hottest dude of all time than by a gross dude.
What's wrong with you? Don't take inspiration from this show. Don't take comfort from it.
I'm just saying sometimes some of the stuff
These
rings true.
These are the lives
true.
Of poorly
sometimes.
Written children. This should not apply to your life anymore.
Sometimes a little bit of it gets in there and you're like, oh, It's a little shred of truth.
I'm telling you, though, that shouldn't be happening. I'm trying to help you.
No, I'm worried about you. No, this is genuine concern now. Stop the tape, Avril. Let's talk.
No, but keep it rolling.
So he talks. I mean, but he leaves and you think that, oh, Zach's not going to come. But
exactly.
You know, he goes on to Lisa's house, which, again, is, I guess, pretty easy for him to find because it's his house. The inside of Lisa's house is exactly the same as Screech's house.
She's supposed to be the child of two doctors.
Doctor and Dr. Turtle.
And this is...
Those are her parents.
So mad that you just said that. And then this set looks shitty.
It's
like
super
shitty. Like, it looks
shitty. Bad. It's super shitty.
They didn't even try.
They didn't try at all. Well, clearly.
It's like, what's in a house? Tables, chairs. What else do you need?
A couch. Boom.
The
a
end.
House. Yeah.
Everybody can stand around. That mansion. There you go.
Yep.
Two doctors.
The manse. The turtle manse. Yes. So everybody's showing up for the party. My favorite part is everyone is invited. You see all the extras, including the metal dude. Did you notice the metal
I
dude
did notice
right
the metal
next
dude.
To the door
I
that
did
Lisa
the metal
would
dude.
Never hang out with?
And also all those nerds.
Yeah, all the nerds. This metal stoner dude. It's just like all the classic extras are there. Mm. So Kelly and Jeff show up, and everybody like instantly approves of Jeff. Like, they're all kind of like, look, dude, we're sorry that we thought you were a jerk or whatever. And instantly they're like, we're friends. And I feel like at least,
and also they're apologizing to him. Was he aware that any of this was happening?
I don't know other than just remember he was working that night when like no one would talk to Kelly.
Yeah.
So I think that's like, unless she tell, I would assume she wouldn't go, hey, boyfriend, my friends think you suck.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something anybody really wants to tell their boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I assume she didn't do that. I assume his only exposure to this is just when they're being weird to her at the Max.
Yeah.
And, but he, none, I don't know. None of them are like, hey, you're a college dude at our like 15-year-old party.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
You're legally considered an adult.
Yes. Like, why
this
are
shouldn't
you
be
here?
Happening.
Yeah. But so they're instantly like, he's a cool dude. And you laughed super hard when Slater's like, hey, we got to talk wrestling. And they walk off and do fake extra chitter chatter.
They do,
where they're like, talk,
yes.
talk, 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 talk.
The scene ends, and because there's always that lag with everything and Saved by the Bell, the camera should be moving off them much sooner. But because it's still on them, poor Mario Lopez has to make up some fake conversation.
Yes.
And so that, and he's doing it in
I
that
gotta
sort
hear
of,
you howled laughing
oh,
at this.
I loved it because it was that perfect. He's doing, like, the scene is over, and then in that sort of stage whisper that I guess is trying to communicate to the audience, you don't have to pay attention to what I'm saying here.
Right.
Because the camera's going to move any second now.
Right.
Any second. He's like, oh, I have to talk to you about wrestling.
Yes, yes. And,
like, and then just like, I'm
talk, talking, yeah. talk. Yes.
And then
it is pretty great.
Then there's another moment, like, right after that where the guy wants to walk away. The boyfriend, Jeff wants to walk away. And Screech says something weird to him, and then Screech is going to follow him.
Right.
And does Dustin Diamond does the most elaborate, like, throws his head back, holds out his stiff pointing arm as if to communicate, oh, I am going to follow you as you walk over to the other side of the room.
Oh, I would give it. I wish people could see what you just did.
Like, he's making an exit in a Broadway musical.
Right, right, right. Yeah, he is.
Terrible.
Yeah, so he, but they, overall, they instantly are all just like, Jeff is cool with us.
Yeah.
Cool, instant friends, no beef with you at all. And then.
There's a little bit of improv from the boyfriend, too, from Jeff. I think maybe it's after the Screech thing where I wrote down Woody Allen moment where, he has what some response to whatever they're saying that sounded like it sounded like something out of a Woody Allen movie, or his reaction was sort of like a, hey, what are you going to do? I mean,
weird
people here. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's maybe he did that. Maybe that was more of a demonstration of how much older he is than them.
I think also it's that. Because he literally is older than these
Oh, well, he
kids.
Totally... In real life, he's like in his 30s.
Yes.
He's got to be when this is happening.
And I think that the actor feels...
Right.
The camera should not still be on me and this other guy. Like,
right,
should be moving on.
Right.
And that's another thing. Like, I think that's part of them padding out the episode.
Right.
It's like everything lasts a little bit longer than it should.
Right. to where they then they have to resort to being like talking.
Okay, well, that's great. Good to hear.
Yeah. So then Jesse comes out with a cake, starts singing Happy Birthday.
Which, by the way, I cannot believe this production shelled out the money for Happy Birthday.
Okay, please look how I wrote sing Happy Birthday song, right?
You're just pointing at a blank piece of paper.
That's not cool at all. That is not cool.
Let the record show April did indeed write down.
Same thing. Yes. I was like, I can't believe they got the rights to sing the full Happy Birthday song.
Shocking.
There are like movies that won't put that in because of getting the rights.
Yeah, they wouldn't go to the trouble of naming a library track.
Totally, or even getting a real song
to
play a clip of.
Yeah, there's cheap songs out there.
Right, but they'll sing the entire Happy Birthday song.
Absolutely.
That was crazy.
The entire song.
They
sang the whole thing.
Yes. Which cost a pretty penny.
Yes.
But in the middle of singing that, Zach comes in. They all finish singing. But after that, they're like,
Can I stop you for just 1 second?
Of course.
Because I'm realizing, you know, you don't pay the same amount. Like, Happy Birthday doesn't cost the same every time. It's up to the publisher's discretion to decide how much it's going to cost
true?
The production. Yes, I believe this is true, because you can say to them, "Hey, we're using the song for this thing," and then they can say, "Either no, it's not for sale. You can use it for that, but it's going to cost you this amount of money," or they can maybe cut you a deal and say, "We'll give it to you for this." And I would not be surprised if the producers of Saved by the Bell said, This is an entertainment for kids, and it's like an educational show.
Totally, I'd get it.
Yeah.
You know what? I am not at all.
I could be wrong about that, but I feel like
I feel like I heard that
a long time ago.
I'm not qualified to comment because there was a long time that I thought that Michael Jackson owned the rights to Happy Birthday because he bought it at the same time he bought all the rights to the Beatles songs. I legitimately thought that to be true.
Why didn't he buy Happy Birthday?
If you're going to go ahead and sweep up all the Beatles stuff, why don't you get that in there too?
Yeah.
I want to say a pre-internet time. Maybe I thought that well into internet times.
Can you imagine?
But I did think that for a while. And I was like, because I remember people, when there were talks of him like not being financially secure, being like, that dude owns Happy Birthday. How is he not rolling in it? Like, I really thought that for a long time.
And did you also think that somehow he got money anytime anyone sang it, like at a birthday party?
Of course, he probably makes money from that. Or at least not in like a private house, but if you do it at like a Chuck E. Cheese or like other people can hear it.
If it's a public performance of Happy Birthday.
Yes, if it's like...
Then Chuck E. Cheese is now on the hook for paying Michael Jackson.
If it's like with an earshot.
Yes, may I speak to Joe Jackson, please? Tell him it's a Mr. Charles Cheese on the line. Mr. Jackson, yes. I'm truly be happy to hear. We had a record 18 birthdays this weekend, and how much do we owe you?
Like if it was ever with
please
an earshot of other people.
Send the bill to the usual place.
Yeah. I mean, I can't lie and say I definitely didn't think that. I mean, I probably thought that a little bit.
Was this when Michael Jackson also had 7 gallons of semen pumped from his stomach?
That was Rod Stewart or Freddie Mercury.
Oh, I never heard of
Freddie
Mercury.
You can't run that by me.
I've
heard it both. It was Rod Stewart or Freddie Mercury.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, duh. But owning the rights to Happy Birthday, I like really did.
That's very believable.
7 pounds, like...
Well, picture a gallon of milk.
Even if you're S-ing a lot of D's.
Thank you for your discretion.
Like, 7. That has to be all...
You mean
all
sucking dicks, right?
But it's like, that's all you would be doing for, like, weeks.
Yeah.
To get 7 pounds of it.
Gallons.
Also, gallons. Also, your stomach doesn't hold 7 gallons of anything.
No. But it is entirely possible that it was just in a... It was just in glasses, and he drank it.
Oh, he's just recreationally just.
Maybe for
he's not getting it from the source, not straight from the tap. Okay, that's what you're saying.
It's been packaged. It's been bottled. Oh,
it's in
horrible!
His fridge. He just goes on a bender.
Sorry, I'm sorry that I brought it up.
Okay,
So they owe Michael Jackson a lot of money for singing Happy Birthday in its entirety.
That's right.
Zach comes in the middle of Happy Birthday in the Cosbyest of sweaters.
There's no way around it.
It is super
this is
Cosby.
A Bill Cosby sweater.
Straight from his closet.
Yes.
Total Bill Cosby sweater. Yes. But that's his party attire.
That no kid would ever wear.
No kid would ever own, let alone wear, let alone a guy who's supposed to be like the coolest guy ever.
And to go to a party.
To go to a party. Yeah. That's like, I'm dressed
up for
the party.
Where your ex-girlfriend's going to be
her
new boyfriend.
And you want to look like your coolest ever. Of course. Of course.
There's everything about it. Says, everything about the situation says, do not wear this Bill Cosby sweater.
Of course. But of course he does. Mm-hmm. And he immediately, with the maturity of 1,000 adults, because again, this is maybe day three of being dumped for this guy.
Yes.
He comes in, but of course it's like everybody gets silent, like record scratch, like, oh shit, it's Zach. But he's immediately like, Kelly, I'm sorry I've been a jerk. Mm-hmm. I totally forgive you. Or what, you know, whatever. I get it now.
Somehow I've learned a lesson. I've
totally learned a lesson in these 72 hours. And I'm over it, and I wish you the best, and let's be friends. And they hug, and then he goes to Jeff, like, sorry, I was a jerk to you, man. And like, and then, weirdly goes, congratulations.
Yeah.
I found that the weirdest.
Congratulations on your acquisition of this property.
Yes!
That I guess some people consider a human being.
Yes!
With free will.
Exactly. So congratulations on this.
Yes.
And shakes hands with him, and like, everything is cool. And that, and again, that's the kind of... in my adult life, that's never happened.
And this guy accepts it, too. He's like, oh, thank you very much.
He's like, thank you. And yes, cool of you, dude.
This guy, this college student.
This college adult is thanks.
Thank you. I'm glad we could settle this like gentlemen.
And everybody is fine.
Yeah.
And again, I'm like, never did I ever witness that in my teenage years, ever.
Are we playing Never Did I Ever? Because I'm ready to go.
Have you ever? I don't even know. I don't think I've ever even played that.
No, I haven't either.
I swear to God.
I'm not sure how it
weird?
Goes exactly.
I'm not sure how it goes either. But I've never witnessed that in teenage times. I've never witnessed that in
adult
times.
No, of course not.
In recent breakup times, exes have been like, no, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Your new boyfriend's a dick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the most mature of attitudes you can have is, oh, go ahead and live your life, but we're not going to hang out.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Or at least not three
you'd be,
days
you'd
later.
You'd be cordial to someone.
Like, I'm tight with all my exes, weirdly, but like that didn't happen for months,
except
if not
one.
Years. Except that one guy won't talk to me. It is true, except one. That guy that I high-fived too much was not having it. He's the only one who wants a friend in his life that high-fives him. Doesn't want it.
Do you think it really comes down to the high-fiving?
I mean, it was part of it. It was kind of part of it.
Undeniable.
He was kind of like, you're too much of a bro. For real. That's real talk.
What a dainty little flower he must be.
No, he's a Green Beret. I swear to God, he's like the toughest dude. Anyway, this is weird.
You know, I can't figure it out.
No, but I'm saying...
That was my fault. I'm sorry.
Friendship with exes comes months, if not years later.
Yes.
And the fact that
if
he's trying to be... If at all.
You don't need to be friends with
exes. You don't
have
to be, absolutely. No. But like 3 days later, he's like, we're cool, right? We're friends, totally, as teenagers. No.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so they're like, yeah, thank you, and they hug. And then he's like, turns to the camera. Well, it's hard to lose your first love. And then this hot redhead lady comes over and is like, hey, do you believe in love at first sight?
I just got divorced.
Okay. Exactly.
This woman.
Smoky voice.
Why? I don't understand. There's no shortage of child actors.
Totally. 40-plus-year-old lady.
Oh, my.
Husky, smoky voice.
I mean, obviously, look, I know that joke has been made a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not just today, but on this podcast.
Of course, but it bears repeating.
But man, oh, man, this lady is she's a lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's a grown
She's like
woman.
A lawyer.
Yes.
And like
with children,
yes, and divorced, and 40 plus, and it's like, hey, stud, and then, but also too, this party is Lisa's party. Everyone goes to where is she from? Everyone goes to Bayside High School.
I know
she's the one person there where everybody's like, oh, I've never seen you before.
Part of
ever
Lisa's other life,
Lisa's other life where she hangs out with 40-year-old ladies,
Jackie Collins romance,
and smokes
lady.
With them at like
exactly.
bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she comes out like, hey, and he's like. On the other hand, I absolutely believe in love at first sight.
This woman's only line is she walks up to him and says, hey, do you believe in love at first sight? And then she walks away.
Right. Also, again, a line that zero teenagers would ever use.
Yeah.
No teenager comes to you with a line like that.
Yeah. It's also not a sexy come on line.
It's not.
It's like if you.
I feel like because a dude would go, are you saying you're in love with me right now? Like
yeah.
we haven't even met. Like a dude would be scared of that, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be like, do you believe in sex on the first date? That would be...
Then a guy would go,
that's
yeah.
how you would say...
Yeah.
That's the type of thing you would say in that voice.
Right.
You'd not be saying, do you want to get married and have a bunch of kids?
Yes. To a teenage
right now?
Guy.
Hey, do you want to have a joint checking account?
Yes. Totally. And the teenage guy would run the other way.
Yeah.
No matter how hot of a four
any guy,
you were.
Any guy.
Yes.
Yes. Any person.
Yes.
Any person. She's jumped a few spaces in line.
All right. So how do you feel having watched your first full episode, first ever full episode of Saved by the Bell?
That show, it's so terrible. It's so terrible. And it's as terrible as I feared it would be. And seriously, like the people that produced this show should be ashamed. They should really be ashamed.
So first of all, coming back for a second episode is out of the question. Point taken. Second
no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Well, when you... Okay, so you're 10 years older than me. So when this was... Because this is on when I'm in high school.
Right.
You're already not in high school.
I'm out on the streets. I'm doing stand-up
comedy. So what was your actual... So, but you would flick through channels. I mean, you were aware of it, though.
Yeah.
You just would immediately flick past it.
Because it was... It looks like it's for children.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those things. Even channel surfing... It's brightly lit. It's very colorful. It's like, oh, this is for... There's nothing in this for me at
right.
all, you know?
Well,
and
did you
even, have... even on an ironic level,
right.
it's like it's a weird place because it's a little too close. It's like this is for people that are, you know, 10 years younger than me,
right.
you know? Because I'm out in... At that point in my life, I have been doing stand-up comedy for a few years, you know, and I'm just about to start making a living from it.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, there's
nothing... You ain't got time for bullshit.
I ain't got time for that kind of bullshit. Oh, believe me, there's plenty of awful shit that I'm watching probably. Although, I don't know if at that age, I don't know if I was watching stuff ironically.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I might not have been. I might have been still in that place where I wanted to just consume... Like, that might have been my art house period where I was going to see, you know, the double feature of A Hard Day's Night and The Monkey's Head, you know.
Oh,
whatever,
totally.
Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Foreign movies, you know,
right.
whatever. But like really opening myself up to new experiences rather than looking at things through a lens of, can you believe that people
hey, man,
thought this was good? You
I
know?
Get it. You were way too cool for this. Way
no,
too
well,
cool.
At that point in my life.
Right. No,
at that
I
point
totally,
in my life.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
But did you know enough about it? Well, maybe you, all your friends were
no,
your
at,
age.
At the time when it was airing, I really didn't know
it wasn't
because
for me it.
It
was like in the ether. Like everyone
oh, of course.
Knew everything.
Of course, you and your colleagues would be discussing
my colleagues,
this.
Of yes. course, my esteemed teenage colleagues. So tell me a little bit more, though. You recently, and this is another thing that 5,000 people emailed me, and I'm very appreciative that people think of me when this comes up. But the video of you interviewing Mark Paul was amazing. First of all. It was very special to me.
I'm glad.
But like, how did you prepare? I mean, obviously, was it your idea to ask him things about Zach Morris? Like, if Zach Morris were to
oh,
do whatever?
No, that was the show's writers who come up with those
okay.
little games we do.
But did you have to? But you didn't watch any of these in preparation or anything?
Oh, well, hell no.
But you just knew the gist of
they
like.
They pay me enough to watch Saved by the Bell.
Right, but I'm saying
you
knew
me?
Enough to know that at least like his character like ruled the place and was.
I
able
knew
to
honestly,
do...
honestly, yes. The most I knew about the show came from your podcast, actually, which I listened to a few episodes prior to interviewing him. Not for that purpose. It was just a coincidence.
Right. That is awesome and an honor. I'm like honored. Is that weird? That's awesome.
Well, it's weird for me to hear, certainly.
I think that's fantastic.
Well, I'm glad. I am glad, and it's very entertaining.
Was he a cool dude? Was he nice?
Oh, he was very nice.
Okay.
He was very nice. He was a little cagey about stuff. Nah, you know what? Not cagey, but, you know, certain questions that I asked were met with, oh, no, that's not, I don't even care about that, you know? And, you know, maybe he doesn't. You know, there might be he might be giving me his genuine feeling, but I felt like certain things very quick to dismiss, you know.
Right.
And then he gave me a hard time when I you know, because I did a little bit of research on him and he mentioned growing up in this area. And I said, you grew up in Panorama City, which caught my eye because I've never met anyone who grew up in Panorama City before. And he
right.
went, oh, nice Wikipedia research. I'm like, come on, dude. What the fuck? Yes.
What would you do?
Yeah, exactly. Like, how else are you supposed to know this stuff? Oh,
exactly.
That's kind of... So
it was a little... It was a fun dick move. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he was humorously giving me a hard time.
Right.
But of course, like, if you're interviewing somebody, you don't want to be called out on your research.
Right, of course. Yeah. Okay, well, based on that, then tell me what you think the chances are of him coming to sit on my couch and watch an episode of this with me. If you
honestly, I would say it's 50-50.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, I have not spoken with him.
I thought it would be 0%.
No, I honestly, I feel like given that I would say it honestly depends on how far away he lives.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because I'd come to him.
If he's... Oh, you're goddamn right you would. And also, does he want to let you into his house?
I'm like, what comes across as less creepy, though? Me being like, let me come to your house or you come to my house?
I don't think he would necessarily think that it's creepy. I know that he mentioned that, you know, because he works with Kamel and Anjani on Franklin and Bash, he's come down to
Meltdown.
And, yeah, so...
Yeah.
I think it's if he feels like doing it, he'll do it.
Let me ask you this also to get this on tape. Mm-hmm. Can I say, like, when I approach him to make it more
palatable?
Make me less of a creep. Can I be like, I'm April, close personal friend of Paul Tompkins.
Yes, you may drop my name.
Will you come over to my house?
You may exaggerate our friendship.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
So, well, then that way also, too, it's like I clearly haven't murdered you when you were at my house, so I'm not going to murder him.
Have you had Kamel on?
No.
You should have Kamel on.
I'm happy to have anybody on. Oh, and then he can tell him.
Yes.
All right.
So I think Kamel's participation would probably hold more weight.
I was about to say, so dropping his name will be more useful than
exaggerating
our friendship
because they are
for the sake of this.
Because they are colleagues.
Right. Okay.
I would say my name wouldn't hurt.
Okay.
Maybe it would. Who knows?
You know, with the attitude you're giving me, maybe it isn't ideal.
I would say, though, with the vibe that I got from him is that he is a pretty happy-go-lucky guy.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's convenient for him to do...
He'll do it.
He will either say yes or no.
Hey, I'll arrange. I'll quit my job if it means I got to be home on a weekday
to do this.
That.
Don't do that.
Worth it.
No.
To get Zach Morris to come sit on my couch?
No.
Yes.
No. Please tell me.
I can get money elsewhere. I'm not really going to quit.
I can get money elsewhere.
There are other ways other than my steady day job.
Sounds like the start of every great career.
Okay, well, I thank you so much for coming to do this.
Thank you for having me.
This is my favorite. It's been awesome.
Thank you for letting me pitch myself as a guest.
Of course. I like the idea. You asked me too. Like, I was going to go, no. Like, no, you can't. I've changed my mind.
Well, I'm glad there were no hurt feelings. I appreciate that you understood where I was coming from.
Sure.
At that time.
Yeah.
And you were very nice about it.
Well, I'm a nice person.
Well, so am I.
Well, fine.
Well, fine.
No, this was awesome.
Throw a milkshake on your shirt.
And I want a milkshake now, actually, to drink.
I do, too. That wouldn't be
Let's go get milkshakes. Okay. Yeah, so that was awesome, and this is going to make a lot of people very happy that have emailed me to get you as a guest.
I hope so.
So you're welcome, everyone who emailed me.
If you're still listening.
And you are still listening, because this is the best. Okay, the next episode, I can tell you, because it's already recorded, I have Erin Mallory Long, who wrote that article about... she wrote first, cracked an article, 7 plots that prove that Zach is a sociopath. It was a great article that a bunch of people sent me. So she's the guest for the next episode of Go Bayside, so look forward to that. And keep emailing me because it's awesome and leaving good iTunes reviews and
Where
all those things.
Where can they email you, April?
Well, you can email me at me@aprilrichardson.com.
There you go.
Yeah. And I answer everybody and I'm psyched to get the emails. And I even get lots of emails telling me I'm wrong about things and I like that too.
Sure. Why do you like that?
Because I like to learn things. And there are times on episodes
where
I go, there's no way that's ever happened in a high school. And somebody will write and go, that absolutely happened at my high school. So, hey, I welcome it.
Don't forget that people can also lie.
My way is not the highway.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Oh, at AP. Everybody knows this APY. You're at PF Tompkins.
You might have new listeners. God damn it.
Oh, well, I will because you're going to bring
Maybe
in new
so.
Listeners. Absolutely.
I wasn't even thinking that, but that's entirely
possible.
Oh,
you totally are.
You might get new listeners every time.
I do, but you're going to bring in the most.
It's not bad to reset these things.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, well, you're at PF Tompkins.
That's true.
Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows. Not everyone knows how to spell it. So good luck, everyone.
Oh, that's true.
They'll find it.
Oh.
Do you know how to spell it?
Of course I know how to spell it. T-O-M-P-K-I-N-S.
You got so scared at the beginning.
K-I-N-S.
That's right.
Yay! Okay, guys, that was another episode of Go Basic. Thank you. Beep, 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 beep